What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. For peace of mind whenever you go online, visit expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, so we have the brand new economic report out today. It sucks. It sucks. It sucks because Joe Biden is a very, very bad president. So, economists were forecasting 500,000 jobs added this month. That would have been pretty bad. The reason it would have been pretty bad is because we should be adding like a million jobs a month. We have 10 million open jobs in the United States. So, how many jobs did we actually add in September, I hear you asking? The answer? 194,000 jobs. 194,000 jobs. That is an abysmally terrible job growth month. I mean, that's below the average of like the Obama administration job growth. Okay, that sucks. It's really, really bad. Okay, the reason it is so bad, again, is because we ought to be in a boom time. We had an artificial economic coma last year. Right? The entire economy was put into an artificial coma so we could prevent the spread of COVID. And then we got vaccines. And those vaccines have been widely available and widely distributed. So the economy should be booming. We should be back to normal. But Joe Biden has not allowed things to get back to normal because of his unbelievably crappy economic policy, taxation and regulation and inflation. Right? Those have driven the economy to new lows. Plus his crappy COVID policy, which has been to yell at you about how dangerous COVID is and to pay you to stay home. All of this has resulted in Jimmy Carter-like stagflation, inflation at the supermarket. Whatever wage increases you've seen have been eaten up by actual price inflation in the United States. Meanwhile, businesses are not investing. So you've got the government lowering the interest rates to try and force businesses to take money out in loans to go invest in their own company. And no one's taking the loans because there's so much uncertainty, economically speaking, because of Joe Biden's Build Back Better bullcrap, that no one's taking the loans. So you're ending up with systemic stagnation at this point because of Joe Biden. That's the story of this economic report. Joe Biden and the media, they're going to try and play this as Delta killed the economy. No, no, no. Joe Biden is killing the economy. According to the New York Times, U.S. employers added 194,000 jobs in September, the Labor Department said Friday. That was down from 366,000 in August. You'll remember that was a massive disappointment in August. They expected 750,000 jobs in August, far below the more than 1 million jobs added in July before the more contagious Delta variant led to a spike in COVID cases. It ain't about the COVID. It's about Joe Biden's approach to the COVID. If you pay people to stay home and tell them that the vaxxed ought to be super scared of the unvaxxed, guess what people do? They don't go to work. You know where people are working? All the red states. There's a reason that the best states for unemployment in the United States right now are almost universally red. Because everybody in those states is like, either I'm vaxxed and I don't care and I'm going to work, or I'm unvaxxed and I don't care and I'm going to work. No one's listening to Joe Biden, so they're all going back to work. The unemployment rate fell to 4.8%, but that is not because there are more people employed on a relative basis. It's because more people are dropping out of the workforce entirely. As Joe Biden promises to pay them to stay out of the workforce. The data released on Friday was collected in mid-September when the Delta wave was near its peak. Here's the New York Times trying to make excuses for Biden. Since then, cases and hospitalizations have fallen in much of the country. More timely data from private sector sources suggests economic activity has begun to rebound. If those trends continue, job growth could approach its pre-Delta pace later this fall. Oh, so we're not supposed to pay attention to these crappy economic numbers caused entirely by the Democratic Party and Joe Biden. We're supposed to hope for the future when things get better, except for here's the thing. Here's my prediction. There's going to be a wave of Delta. It's going to hit the Northeast. The reason it's going to hit the Northeast is it's about to get very cold in the Northeast. When people go indoors, you see increased numbers of cases, period. Now, a normal country would say to itself, okay, so there's more cases and not that many people are being hospitalized, not that many people are dying. But everybody is now aiming, because of Joe Biden, at zero COVID. The goal is zero COVID. So that means that people are still going to be in panic mode in the blue areas. That ain't stopping. We now have a psychological problem in the United States. COVID is two problems. It is a medical problem, which has been consistent since the beginning of the pandemic, and it's a psychological problem. This is a psychological problem at this point. Earlier this year, many economists and policymakers hoped September would be the month when the logjam began to abate as schools and offices reopened and expanded unemployment benefits ended. That easing has not happened. The resurgence of the pandemic delayed office reopenings and disrupted the start of the school year and made some people reluctant to accept jobs requiring face-to-face interaction. Again, the media are just going to continue to blame exogenous factors. It doesn't explain why those exogenous factors have not led to massive job decreases in red states. And the left likes to say this is a pandemic of the red states because it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Okay, well, this is an unemployment of the blue states. It's an unemployment of the blue states. If you look at the unemployment numbers by state from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, what you will see is here are the best states for unemployment in the United States. You ready? Nebraska, red. Utah, red. Idaho, red. South Dakota, red. New Hampshire, purple to red. Vermont is the only outlier. Alabama, red. Oklahoma, red. Georgia, red. Montana, red. North Dakota, red. Kansas, red. And then you get to Minnesota, outlier. Wisconsin, red. Missouri, red. Virginia, purple. Indiana, red. Iowa, red. Arkansas, red. South Carolina, red. Kentucky, red. North Carolina, red. Tennessee, red. Hey, then you go and you look at the worst states for unemployment. Nevada, blue. California, blue. New York, blue. New Mexico, blue. New Jersey, blue. Connecticut, blue. Illinois, blue. Hawaii, blue. District of Columbia, blue. Pennsylvania, purple. Alaska, red. Louisiana, purple. Okay, so you've noticed there's a pretty heavy political striation here. Why? Because this isn't about COVID and the Delta wave. It's about everything else. Not just that. People are not investing in the economy because we are now stuck. So Joe Biden has created a stagflation situation. High taxes, high regulation, high spending. And now the Federal Reserve is saying, guys, we've been trying to jog the economy and we can't keep doing this. It's creating inflation. And so now investors are like, well, before you were kind of giving us free money. Now you're not giving us free money. So maybe we're not going to use that free money to invest. According to the New York Times, a stingier Fed is not the market's only concern. Inflation, dismissed until recently by the Fed as a transitory artifact of the pandemic, is coming to be seen as more persistent as the prices of goods, services, and labor increase. What is being acknowledged as transitory, though, is the jolt to economic growth and corporate profits provided by several trillion bucks of added spending by Congress. Who knew? Who knew that if you created fake growth by throwing money at things, it wouldn't last? Who knew, except for everyone who has ever studied 1 ounce of economics? So, the Federal Reserve is going to have to draw back at the same time that Joe Biden has slowed the economy. Joe Biden's going to end up with a recession if he's not careful, which is amazing for a guy who was literally handed a vaccine, the cure to COVID, and somehow has blown it. This guy is the worst president of my lifetime, bar none. I mean, it is not close. He is way worse than Obama was. He's an incompetent buffoon who's convinced of his own moral rectitude. With all of that said, Joe Biden now needs an excuse. He needs an excuse for his failure. So, of course, his excuse is going to be COVID itself, right? And all the unvaxxed. That's the excuse. He's unwilling to take blame for his own crappy fiscal policy and his own crappy economic policy. And he's unwilling to take blame for the fact that whatever remnants there are of lockdowns, shutdowns, and overwrought worry are directly the result of his administration. And what we have right now in America with regard to COVID is a medical problem in the sense that some unvaccinated people are dying from COVID. And that problem has been the same since the beginning of the pandemic, that if you're unvaccinated, there is a good likelihood that you're going to end up with one of the variants. And then, depending on your age, there is some likelihood that you will be hospitalized and that you might die. It really depends on your age, a lot, as we'll get to when we talk about kids in a moment. Okay, so that is one problem. That problem has not changed over the course of the pandemic. What has changed is our circumstances. We now know that if you do not wish to die from this or be hospitalized, we have very good solutions for you. We have better therapeutics that are coming to market. We have the vaccines themselves, which are massively effective. But we have all of these solutions, which really means that the second problem of the pandemic is a psychological problem. And this is a problem that has set its roots unbelievably deep at this point. People are in pandemic mode and they cannot get out of pandemic mode. They cannot. And that has been driven by the left. That has been driven by Joe Biden. It's been driven by the media. The outsized panic at the actual real world risk to individuals of COVID has been driven by the media. It's been driven by the Democrats, and now they can't get out of it. I've been talking with people routinely at schools, in government, about what sort of policy should be pursued. I mean, hell, members of my own family, that what policies should be pursued with regard to, for example, masking children in school. The data is pretty damned clear. The rates of death and hospitalization for children from COVID are extremely low. Very, very, very low. And we are talking about like lightning strike low. The number of kids in the United States who have died from COVID, according to the Centers for Disease Control, remains under 600 over the course of the entire pandemic. as compared with something like 900 kids over the course of the same period who have died of pneumonia. Thank God this is not a childhood disease. This is a disease that is heavily age-striated. Children are safer from COVID, unvaccinated, than adults are from COVID after being vaccinated. That's how age-striated this particular disease is. And yet if you talk to people who are making school policies very often, they will say things that make no internal sense at all. They will say things that are not rooted in science. First, they will make the claim that kids need to be masked in school, even though there's very little evidence, let's put it that way, very little evidence that cloth masks in particular among children do anything to stop the spread of the virus. The viral load of COVID is about 100, somewhere between 1 and 300 times the viral load of the original variant, which means that cloth masks are really doing very little to stop the spread of COVID if spread of COVID is happening in schools. Okay, and second, the risk to children, even if they get COVID, is extremely, extremely low. And yet you'll see school administrators say things like, well, we have to mask the kids. And you'll say, why do you have to mask the kids? And they'll say, well, because what if one of the kids in the class gets COVID and then somebody else is nearby? And the answer is, well, then that kid either has COVID or does not have COVID. Are they symptomatic or are they not symptomatic? The mask isn't the deciding factor, because Dr. Michael Osterholm of the Biden administration and multiple other doctors ranging from Robert Redfield to even Ezekiel Emanuel have talked about whether or not cloth masks are particularly effective against COVID. Okay, so the masks are not the deciding factor. And yet you'll hear people, almost as sort of a talismanic saying, suggest that if we don't mask kids, kids have to go home. And then you'll say, okay, but why do the kids have to go home? And they'll say, well, the kids have to go home because they might spread COVID. And you say, well, but the stats on spreading of COVID are really kind of the same, right? I mean, they haven't really changed dramatically over the course of the last month particularly. And not only that, if kids are asymptomatic, why should they be going home? We don't do this with literally any other disease. Diseases that are more deadly for kids, we don't do this for. If you're asymptomatic, we don't send you home, right? None of the policy makes any internal sense. But what is it driven by? It's driven by a back-of-the-mind suggestion that zero COVID is either a possibility or something that we should be pursuing. It is bad policy. It is not something that we should be pursuing. But it is something that Joe Biden has to pursue. So Joe Biden and the Democrats and the media are all heavily invested in the idea that COVID is not going to become endemic and sort of just become a background part of life that we all live with, and we take off our masks and we go back to work and sometimes we get COVID and nearly all of us live, and, you know, just like every other disease that is in circulation and has been since the dawn of mankind. There is this assumption that is being made by the Democrats and by the media that COVID needs to be wiped out. And the reason that they are making that anti-scientific assumption is because the authoritarianism is the point. They want the control. The reason they want the control is because the suggestion of the control allows them to blame everyone else for their own failings. See, here's the thing. If you think that Joe Biden's fiscal policy is what is causing the economy to be slow, if you think that Joe Biden's COVID policies have been pretty ineffective, considering more people this year have died of COVID than died last year of COVID in the United States. I know they're not going to run that scrolling ticker on CNN because Joe Biden's president now. They did that last year. They don't do it anymore because Joe Biden is president. But if you don't think Joe Biden has done a particularly good job, Joe Biden needs an excuse. His excuse is going to be that the unvaccinated, that it's their fault that this continues. If everyone just did what Joe Biden said, if Joe Biden were king of the world for a moment, then all of your problems would go away. This is part and parcel of the overall overarching Democratic pitch, which is that government can solve all of your problems. Every problem in life can be solved by the federal government. It is a lie. It is untrue. But Joe Biden has to maintain it. And so that means he must stump for control. Right? You look at him and you say, why would I give you more control given the fact that you failed at nearly everything you have touched? The way that Joe Biden sees it is precisely the opposite. Why don't you give me more control? Because everything that I have touched has failed because I haven't had more control. There's no way to falsify that thesis. Joe Biden knows it, which is why he's pushing it. We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, using the internet without ExpressVPN is like checking your baggage at the airport without a TSA lock. You think your stuff is kept private, but you never know who is going through your stuff. When you go online without a VPN, internet service providers can see every single website you visit. They can legally sell that information without your consent to ad companies and tech giants who then use your data to target you. When you use ExpressVPN, ISPs can't see your online activity. Your identity is anonymized by a secure VPN server. Your data is also encrypted for maximum protection. ExpressVPN is exceedingly easy to use. Just fire up the app and click one button. ExpressVPN works on all your devices, phones, laptops, even routers, so everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected. Secure your online activity today by visiting expressvpn.com/Ben today. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. You can get an extra 3 months for free. expressvpn.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. expressvpn.com/Ben for that extra 3 months for free. It's the VPN I trust to keep my online activity private and safe. ExpressVPN.com/Ben for that extra 3 months of coverage for free. Alrighty, coming up. So Joe Biden is a failure, but he has to have an excuse for why he's failing. It's probably because you won't give him more control, guys. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you can get both, why not? Especially when it comes to health care. And that's MediShare. You get both. The typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And that's huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. It's because MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge PPO network, so yeah, really, you could save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. If you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. Here is the number you need. Call 844-53-BIBLE. That's 844-53-BIBLE. 844-53-BIBLE.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Joe Biden push here, right, which has a bleed down effect, is that everything is failing, not because of him. Everything is failing because you haven't given him enough control. And this is why he's pushing vaccine mandates. Again, the reality in most parts of the United States is that unless hospitals are being overwhelmed, and this is happening in some rural areas where you could talk about whether you need mask mandates to prevent the hospitals from being overwhelmed, right? That's what we did at the beginning of the pandemic. And if you're in a place with an actual shortage of medical care, it makes some sense. Okay, but other than that, vaccine mandates are unnecessary at this point. The reason they are unnecessary is because they're liberty violating, and because if you are vaccinated, you really don't have to fear the unvaccinated. Joe Biden's claim that the vaxxed should be living in fear of the unvaxxed is causing the economic downturn. It is affecting how the economy works. So he has to talk up the vaccine mandates. Now, here's the thing that's truly amazing. Joe Biden is trying to get the best of both worlds. So there are a lot of corporations that want the vaccine mandates. The reason a lot of corporations want the vaccine mandates is because they would prefer to not have their workers out sick from COVID. Right? They want people to come back into the office. The best way to get people back into the office, presumably, is to not have anybody get sick. So if we can force our workers to have a vaccine, then we will. But they also don't want the political and interior blowback of doing a vaccine mandate. So Joe Biden made it easier for these giant corporations to push vaccine mandates by saying he was going to do so via OSHA. Now, remember, he said a month ago, I think it's more than a month now, that he was going to be pushing vaccine mandates through the OSHA administrative body. He was going to mandate that every business above 100 people had to either vax or weekly test all of their employees. Remember this. Hey, now, here's the thing. Joe Biden never issued that regulation. There has been no regulation. We got our legal team ready. We were ready to go to court. There's been no regulation. The reason there's been no regulation is because it was all bullcrap. Joe Biden simply said that so that corporations would do it and then blame him or credit him. And he wants the credit. So he's talking up vaccine mandates, not because they have been the deciding factor in how this pandemic goes. That is not true. Okay, the pandemic started to wane in Florida well before the vaccine mandates, well before Joe Biden said a damned word about it. The reason being, they have waned everywhere. This happened in the UK, right? We talked about this over the summer. The UK had a massive Delta spike, and then Delta stopped, and it kind of has gone away in the UK in terms of the number of cases. This is what happens everywhere. And by the way, it's going to happen in the Northeast, too, with all the vax mandates and all the lockdowns. Everybody already understands that when it gets cold outside, there's going to be a surge in the Northeast. This is a seasonal virus. It is seasonal because if you go inside and you breathe all over other people, you're going to get it. But this is not a matter of public health concern because the vaccines are available. So if you choose not to get vaccinated and you get sick, that's your problem. And if you choose to get vaccinated and you don't get sick, good for you. But Joe Biden wants vaccine mandates. Why? Because in the end, it underscores the suggestion that everything is under his control, except for you, right? You, the people who won't listen to him. This is your fault. So here is Joe Biden talking up vaccine mandates.
When you see headlines and reports of mass firings and hundreds of people losing their jobs, look at the bigger story. I've spoken with Scott Kirby, CEO of United Airlines, who's here today. United went from 59% of their employees to 99% of their employees in less than 2 months after implementing the requirement. 99%. And by the way, Scott, I want you to know I've instructed the Justice Department to make sure that we deal with the violence on aircraft coming from those people who are taking issues. We're going to deal with that.
Okay, so he's pushing these vaccine mandates hard, and then he says they're the most powerful economic stimulus in history, the vaccine mandates. If that's the case, then why is your economy slow, sir? Because you said this a month ago. I'm not seeing the economy jumping. Are you? Here's Joe Biden continuing along those lines.
Here's what Wall Street's saying. Goldman Sachs, quote, vaccinations will have a positive impact on employment. It means less spread of COVID-19, which will help people return to work. Moody's on Wall Street. Vaccination means fewer infections, hospitalizations, and death. In turn, it means a stronger economy. One economist called vaccine requirements, and I quote, the single most powerful, he didn't say single, the most powerful economic stimulus ever enacted, end of quote.
No. I mean, no. The most powerful economic stimulus ever enacted would be the government getting the hell out of your business and allowing you to live your life. That would be the most powerful stimulus ever. I speak as somebody who runs a company that employs over 200 people. You want to stimulate the economy, get the hell out of our way. But no, he has to be in our way because he has to justify his entire program. And if his program fails, the answer is always and forever more control. By the way, when he says that companies are going from 65% vaccinated to 99% vaccinated, okay, that may very well be true. One of the reasons that's true is because a bunch of people probably quit the company. American Airlines is having a problem right now. They vaccine mandated and 30% of their pilots were like, nope. You're seeing this, you're seeing healthcare worker shortages in hospitals because the healthcare workers are like, I am concerned about this vaccine and I don't want to get it. It turns out that when you throw all the people who are unvaccinated off the company, your percentage of vaccinated goes up. Magic how that works. Beyond all of that, there is a liberty concern, and there is a liberty concern here. Again, I am pro-vaccination and anti-mandate. I'm pro-vaccination because I think they're effective and I think that they are safe for the vast majority of people. And I'm anti-mandate because I still believe in fundamental First Amendment American liberty. And because I believe in that, by the way, that's the same liberty that undergirds actual economic growth. It is not a coincidence that the people who are for vaccine mandates are also generally in favor of government control of the economy. It is also not a coincidence the other way around. And we'll get to more of this in just 1 second because there's something deeper going on here. And now they're trying to extend this to kids, which is really where this cold war with regard to vaccine mandates is going to heat up pretty dramatically. Alrighty, coming up, Joe Biden is talking up vaccine mandates, but they haven't actually issued a legal order at this point. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
What a great way to start your day with a 5K at Turtle Bay. The annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk starts at 9:30 a.m. Saturday, October 9th at Turtle Bay and winds along the scenic Sacramento River and across the Sundial Bridge. There will be three different waves of activity. The first is a race wave for those who are competitive, a second wave, a run wave for those who like to run for fun, and a third wave, a walk wave for those who prefer a leisurely stroll. Whether you like to run or walk, sign up today for the annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk for only $35 for the run and $25 for the walk at carenet.redding.org. Proceeds will go to CareNet, a nonprofit crisis pregnancy center here in Redding. Once you sign up online, you'll receive a link to create your own fundraising page where you can also draw support from those who are unable to attend. There will be a free pancake breakfast courtesy of the Knights of Columbus following the race for participants. It's a great way to start your day with the annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk at Turtle Bay, Saturday, October 9th at 9:30 a.m. Sign up online today at carenet.redding.org.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best-tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Working remotely and wanting to level up by maximizing your working experience? Stop by Drop-In Go Working at 155 Lake Boulevard East. Rachel left a 5-star review for Drop-In. Love this place. I moved to Redding recently from the Bay Area and work remotely full-time. Started going nuts at home, and luckily, this place is a great location and meets my needs beyond my expectations. They also left a 5-star review. Very productive place. It took me a few hours at Drop-In to finish a few days' work at home. Internet is super fast. Drop-In Go Working at 155 Lake Boulevard East in Redding.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, hilariously enough, the Biden administration is pushing vaccine mandates. They've not actually issued one. The reason they're doing this is because they want all the credit for a vaccine mandate without any of the legal blame for having to put up a vaccine mandate likely to get shot down by the courts. The reason they're not actually pushing the actual in-the-law vaccine mandate is because there is a very good shot that if they did, they would dramatically undermine some of the key pillars of their own legal architecture. One of those key pillars is the idea that administrative agencies get to adjudicate their own cases, and that the courts basically have to allow administrative agencies to interpret statutes any way they want because they have the expertise. I think that if OSHA passed this regulation, and if the Daily Wire sued OSHA over that, I think that goes to the Supreme Court. I think there's every possibility that the Chevron doctrine, which is deference to administrative agencies, gets completely overturned. I think there are votes on the Supreme Court to do that. I think Biden knows that, which is why he's saying vaccine mandates are great. Also, I'm not issuing one. Here's the White House COVID-19 coordinator saying, oh, and these vax requirements, those have been the big game changer. They have not.
What we're seeing is that the early movers on vaccine requirements are having really strong results. Vaccine rates up 20, 25% into 90-plus percent of people vaccinated. So vaccine requirements work. They're also good for the economy, and it gets people back into the workplace.
Okay, so this is the shtick, right, is that if we tell you what to do, everything gets better. There's only one problem. A lot of people are not actually getting vaccinated. Right. The overall percentage of people who are getting vaccinated is indeed going up because their employers are forcing them to do so, so that's not a shock. But there's still a hardcore of people who are not going to get vaccinated. Democrats are struggling to explain why. And it's led to some sort of interesting takes. For example, this from New York Governor Kathy Hochul, who says that people are not getting vaccinated because they're afraid they're going to get murdered on the subway, which is a hell of a pitch for your state right here. You're so afraid of getting murdered on the subway, you won't get vaccinated. Good times in New York.
Can be emotional sometimes to think of what someone like that little boy had to think about as he was going to school. Is he going to be okay? Or an elderly person in Chinatown afraid to take the subway. I heard so many people say they're afraid to go get vaccines because they'd have to get on the subway and they're afraid of being assaulted in this very city. That is not the city of New York or the state of New York that we cherish.
Yeah, things are going so well in New York that not only are you not getting vaccinated, the reason, according to the governor, you're not getting vaccinated is because you're afraid a homeless person might push you in front of a train. Woo! Things are going great over there. And so what is underlying a lot of this, truly, is a desperate attempt to shore up the expertise of the elite class. There's a really good book review by a guy named Scott Alexander, who used to be over at Slate Star Codex. He now runs a site called Astral Codex 10. He did a book review of a book by a guy named Martin Gurry called The Revolt of the Public. It is from 2014. And the thesis of the book is basically that the reason that you see so much populist disdain for the elites is because there was a promise that was made over the course of the 20th century that was a complete lie. And now the elites have a stake in perpetuating that lie. So here's Scott Alexander writing about that and writing about the thesis of this book. He says, our story begins in the early 20th century when governments, drunk on the power of industrialization, sought to remake society in their own image. This was the age of high modernism with all of its planned cities and collective farms and so on. Philosopher, bureaucrat, scientist, dictator, manager kings would lead the way to a new era of gleaming steel towers where society was managed with the same ease as a gardener pruning a hedgerow. Some principles of the system. Government management of the economy under the wise, infallible leadership of Alan Greenspan-style boffins who could prevent recessions and resist animal spirits. Government sponsorship of science under the wise, infallible leadership of Einstein-style geniuses who could journey to the Platonic realm and bring back new insights for the rest of us to gawk at. Government management of society in the form of wars on poverty and wars on drugs and an exciting new centralized form of public education that would make every child an above-average student. Homelessness getting cleared away by a wave of the city planner's pen, replaced by scientifically designed, heavily optimized, efficient public housing like Cabrini Green. Realistically, says Scott Alexander, this is all a sham. Alan Greenspan had no idea how to prevent recessions. Scientific progress was slowing down. Poverty remained as troubling as ever. 50% of public school students stubbornly stayed below average. But the media trusted the government, the people trusted the media, and failures got swept under the rug by a genteel agreement among friendly elites, while the occasional successes were trumpeted from the rooftops. However, is the thesis of this book by Gurry, with the beginning of the internet at the turn of the 21st century, bloggers and social media influencers short-circuited the established hierarchy. America's crimes and failures in Vietnam had percolated slowly and inconsistently through word of mouth, with most people content to believe whatever sanitized version the nightly news told them. But when America had crimes and failures in Iraq, leaked photos of torture in Abu Ghraib spread instantly across the internet. There was no opportunity for elites in government or media to come to an agreement on how much of it they were going to share or what the narrative should be. The scientific equivalent, Gray argues, was ClimateGate, where hackers leaked out the emails of top climate scientists and everyone got to see exactly how the sausage got made and decide for themselves whether they trusted it or not. Then there was the 2008 market crash. For the first time, people were able to go on Facebook and the comment sections of their favorite blogs and talk about how everyone involved in finance and government was a crook who needed to be hung from a lamppost. The discussion had a momentum of its own. People who wouldn't have dared think a heretical thought if they'd been listening to Walter Cronkite found themselves adding to the avalanche. In Gray's telling, high modernism had always been a failure, but the government media academy elite axis had been strong enough to conceal it from the public. Starting in the early 2000s, that axis broke down. People could have lowered their expectations, but in the real world, that wasn't how things went. Instead of losing faith in the power of government to work miracles, people believed government could and should be working miracles, and that the specific people in power at the time were too corrupt and stupid to press the cause miracle button, which they definitely had, and which definitely would have worked. And so the outrage, protests, kick those losers out of power, replace them with anybody who had the common decency to press the miracle button. Yeah, this is a very good thesis. And it is also extraordinarily explanatory of what is going on right now. Joe Biden says, I would press the cause miracle button, except that those damned unvaxxed Republicans refuse to allow me to press the cause miracle button. If you just gave me more power on the economy, I would hit the cause miracle button. But Mitch McConnell and those damned Republicans won't get out of my way and allow me to hit the cause miracle button. And this is a bipartisan problem. No matter who is in power, they always have the excuse for their own failures of saying the other guys are preventing me from doing X. This is Scott Alexander's thesis now, and he's correct. Okay, in order to uphold the main thesis of high modernism, which is that the government can fix all your problems, you have to blame somebody for why it's not getting fixed once you have the power. And the answer there is, we need more control of those bad guys. Those bad guys stand between you and utopia. And this is leading to some pretty grave results. Okay, and it's leading some particular, this sort of arrogance leads to serious problems because it is not in keeping with reality. And even some journalists who tend to be, you know, pretty strict on COVID are noticing this. So David Leonhardt has a good piece of the New York Times today. It is titled The COVID Fable. When we treat COVID as a simple morality play, we can end up making bad predictions. He says, in the final weeks of the summer, with COVID-19 cases soaring and the rituals of autumn about to resume, many people assumed the pandemic was on the verge of getting even worse. Children were returning to classrooms 5 days a week. Broadway was reopening. Movie fans were heading to theaters again. Given all this and the Delta variant, public discussion had a decidedly grim tone as the summer wound down. It may only get worse, read a political headline. The new school year is already a disaster, Business Insider reported. The Washington Post cited an estimate that daily caseloads in the U.S. could reach 300,000 in August, higher than ever before. In the New York Times, an epidemiologist predicted that cases would rise in September because kids were going back to school. And what actually happened? Cases plunged. The best measure of U.S. cases peaked around 166,000 on September 1, the very day that seemed to augur a new surge. The number of new daily hospital cases has fallen almost 40%. Hospitalizations are down 30%. Deaths have declined 13% since September 20th. So what exactly happened here? What happened here is that people, says David Leonhardt, are attracted to morality tales in which there are good people and bad people, and politicians take advantage of this. In the case of COVID, says Leonhardt, the fable we tell ourselves is that our day-to-day behavior dictates the course of the pandemic. When we are good, by staying socially distant and wearing masks, cases are supposed to fall. When we are bad, by eating in restaurants, hanging out with friends, going to a theater or a football game, cases are supposed to rise. The idea is especially alluring to anybody making an effort to be careful and feeling frustrated that so many Americans seem blasé. After all, the COVID fable does have some truth to it. Social distancing and masking do reduce the spread of the virus. They just are not as powerful as people often imagine. Correct. In the coming weeks and months, says Leonhardt, it's possible the virus will surge again. Maybe because of a new variant or because vaccine immunity will wane. It's also possible the population has built up enough immunity from both vaccines and prior infection that Delta will have been the last major wave. We don't know. We don't have to pretend otherwise. We don't have to treat COVID as a facile referendum on virtue. But here's the thing. Politicians do. They do because they have to explain why they are failing at their jobs. And the answer to why am I failing at my job is not because my policies are bad, like Joe Biden's are. The answer to why am I failing at my job is because you are bad, because my opponents are bad, because if you gave me more control, I would solve all of your problems. Okay, when the rubber is really going to hit the road is when it comes to kids. Because it is one thing for Joe Biden to say, I want vaccine mandates for all of the employed in the United States. The reason that that is not particularly risky for Joe Biden is because a huge percentage of Americans have already gotten the vaccine. If you're above the age of 20, you're much more likely than not to have gotten the vaccine in the United States. If you're above the age of 40 in the United States, you're way, way more likely to have gotten the vaccine than not in the United States. So what that means is that there's not a lot of political blowback to things like vaccine mandates in practical terms, because if you've already got the vaccine, most people who've already gotten the vaccine, maybe they don't like mandates, but they don't care enough about it to make a big fuss about it, because they've already been vaccinated, so it doesn't affect them. Joe Biden knows this. But here's where the rubber meets the road for Joe Biden. That is when it comes to kids. And when you have people who are mandating that 14-year-olds take COVID vaccines, and now when you have a new push to get 7-year-olds vaccinated, there are going to be a lot of parents and a lot of people in the United States who say, no, you do not get to make that decision for me. That is not something I'm going to allow you to do. Because frankly, the evidence is not good enough that the vaccines are significantly less dangerous than COVID for a kid who is 7. We'll get to that in just a moment, because this is, if Joe Biden makes us a hard push, if the left makes a hard push on kids must be vaccinated before we can all get back to normal, if this is their final sort of the intransigent are not just those terrible unvaxxed Trump supporters, the intransigent are children, the blowback is going to be severe, and they're walking right into it because they have to, you understand. They have to blame everybody else, because that's the only way they can maintain the veneer and the illusion that their power is insufficient rather than far too sufficient. Alrighty, so coming up, when it comes to vaccine mandates, Joe Biden is in safe political space talking about vaccine mandates for adults. Most adults in the United States have been vaccinated. When it gets to kids, things get very dicey for him. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention business owners, listen carefully to this important message. Are you tired of struggling with monthly bookkeeping or always being behind? Maybe you're fed up with paying your CPA ridiculously high hourly rates for subpar services. At FinancePal, we know your pain. We're small business owners who understand your tax and accounting needs. At FinancePal, we take over your books and design a program custom tailored to fit your needs. Whether it's bookkeeping, payroll, bill pay, inventory tracking, or taxes, we have you covered. We handle some or all of these services for one flat, affordable, low monthly fee. Stop worrying about your books and drowning in paperwork. Let us worry while you focus on growing your business. The setup is easy, and we give you the tools and technology to make your monthly finances streamlined and organized. Call now at 800-509-1325 for a free business assessment. That's 800-509-1325. 800-509-1325. Finance Pal, the only friend your business needs.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Where the rubber really is going to meet the road when it comes to the authoritarian push by this administration is when it comes to kids. So Pfizer is now asking for FDA clearance to give its vaccines to 5 to 11-year-olds. Now, listen, that's their prerogative. They can ask the United States to allow COVID vaccines for 5 to 11-year-olds. But whenever the FDA does this sort of stuff, the next push from the left is, let's mandate it. Right? That's not because of Pfizer. That's because of the federal government. Now, I'm sure Pfizer would love it, right? I mean, their stocks go up if somebody gets mandated to take the vaccine in order to go to school, and Pfizer is the only FDA-cleared product at that point. According to the Huffington Post, Pfizer asked the U.S. government Thursday to allow its use of COVID-19 vaccine in children aged 5 to 11. If regulators agree, shots could begin within a matter of weeks. Many parents and pediatricians are clamoring for protection for children younger than 12. Yeah, who? Today's age cutoff for the vaccine made by Pfizer and its German partner, BioNTech. Not only can youngsters sometimes get seriously ill, but keeping them in school can be a challenge with the COVID still raging in poorly vaccinated communities. I love that sentence. Not only can youngsters sometimes get seriously ill. Can we put a number on sometimes? It turns out we can. And the number is really, really, really damned low. Sometimes. It turns out people sometimes get hit by lightning. We should all walk around wearing wooden suits of armor to prevent this sort of thing. But keeping them in school can be a challenge. With COVID still raging, why is keeping them in school a challenge? Why? Just keep them in school. Okay, and if they come down symptomatic, then they get to go home. Otherwise, if they're asymptomatic, don't send them home. Like, these policies are so dumb in schools. They're unbelievably stupid. By the way, the policy in the UK is what I'm talking about. No masks, and you don't go home unless you're symptomatic. Period. End of story. It is incredibly stupid. Instead, we're taking entire classrooms of kids who are completely asymptomatic out of school to prevent them from transmitting a virus that is largely safe for children to other children. And then the excuse that's used ranges from, well, they might go home and they might give it to an adult. Okay, fine. The adult should have been vaccinated. That's the adult's problem. Two, well, you know, we got to keep the kids in school. Okay, it's completely circular. So you're saying we have to take kids out of school to keep kids in school. No, you don't have to do any of that. But this is going to underscore a new push to vaccinate the very, very young. Now, there are a few problems with this. One, Scandinavia, the entire area of Scandinavia, just curbed the use of Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine in young people. Sweden suspended the use of Moderna for all recipients under 30. Okay, not for kids under 18, for everybody under the age of 30. Denmark said anybody under 18 won't be offered Moderna. Norway urged those under 30 to get the Pfizer vaccine instead. Now, why is that? Is it because Moderna is causing mass casualties? No, it's because if Moderna causes any serious adverse events to people under 30, that now raises the risk of a serious adverse event from the vaccine over the risk of COVID, because the risk of COVID for people under 30 is not particularly grave in relative terms. All three countries based their decision on an unpublished study with Sweden's public health agency, saying it signals an increased risk of side effects, such as inflammation of the heart muscle or the pericardium. It added the risk of being affected is very small. However, if the risk of being affected is very small, it may still be larger than the risk of getting seriously ill from COVID if you're young. That's the whole point. If you're 65, the risk of getting myocarditis or something is probably well below your risk of dying from COVID. If you're 12, that ain't the case. Anders Tegnell, Sweden's chief epidemiologist, said, quote, they are following the situation closely and acting quickly to ensure vaccinations against COVID-19 are always as safe as possible and at the same time provide effective protection against the disease. In July, the European Medicines Agency recommended authorizing Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine for kids aged 12 to 17. Canada also recently approved its use for those as young as 12. Hundreds of millions of Moderna doses have already been administered to adults. In a study of more than 3,700 children aged 12 to 17, the vaccine triggered the same signs of immune protection. No COVID-19 diagnoses arose in the vaccinated group compared with four cases among those given dummy shots. Okay, look at that. That's unbelievable. First of all, we're doing this to prevent four cases. 3,700 kids. It presumably split into two groups. So that would have been, you know, essentially 1,850 kids per group. In one group, zero kids got COVID because they were vaccinated. In the other group, four kids got COVID, unvaccinated. So what risk, and how many of those kids were hospitalized or died? Presumably zero. Okay, this is, if you are going to attempt to cram down vaccines on children, if that's the next step here, the blowback is going to be extreme and extraordinary, and it should be. I have kids who are 7, 5, and a year and a half. I am not vaccinating those kids for COVID, not based on the current risk assessment. That is not going to happen. The reason that is not going to happen, there is no longitudinal data on these kids. None. The sample size of the studies is small. You know, MMR, the MMR vaccine, which is now mandatory, which I support being mandatory for kids. MMR was tested for 12 years before it was rolled out as a mandatory vaccine in schools, between 63 and 75. Now you're talking about a vaccine that has been tested on like a few kids over the course of a summer. And you're telling me that I'm supposed to vaccinate my 5-year-old who is at almost zero risk of death, like zero risk. Statistically, it is so close to zero, it is infinitesimal. And I'm supposed to vaccinate my 7- and 5-year-old. Why? Because you guys are paranoid about COVID? All my kids' cousins have had COVID. All of them are fine. Nearly all were asymptomatic. Hey, Scott Gottlieb over at the FDA, he says it's still possible these vaccines will be available for kids by Halloween. Well, whoop-de-doo.
The CEO of Pfizer, the company you served on the board of, affirmed today that that data on vaccinations for 5 to 11-year-olds will be going to the FDA within a matter of days. Is that confirming your schedule of vaccines by Halloween?
Yeah, I think that's still possible. FDA has said that the review is going to be a matter of weeks, not months. I interpret that to mean potentially a 4-week review, maybe a 6-week review. So I think on the low end, it could take 4 weeks, and that could give you a vaccine by Halloween. If it slips a little, it could be mid-November.
Okay, so if this turns into let's mandate this stuff for kids to go to school. They've already done this in California with kids above the age of 12, which is really dicey, especially because there are a lot of medical experts, including Marty McCarry at Johns Hopkins, who say, what does it mean to get vaccinated? I mean, one of the things they've been considering is maybe we should give kids a single shot, because it turns out it's the second shot that is very often causing the sort of heart inflammation that you're seeing in these side effect cases. So what about one shot? Are those kids still barred from school? Let's say they extend this all the way down to 5-year-olds. How many people do you think are going to do this? And how many shots is it going to take? Even the tests that we are using to determine whether kids are going to need another shot are completely flawed. So, for example, the data show that the Pfizer vaccine, after a couple of months, this is according to CNN, the Pfizer vaccine, the antibody levels from Pfizer drop off dramatically. Now, here's the thing. What that means is that you can still get a breakthrough case. I know tons of people at this point who have gotten breakthrough cases after having Pfizer, Moderna, or any of the others. Okay, but these vaccines are still very effective against hospitalization and death, right, which is what you actually care about. Now, the way that you are measuring whether somebody can re-enter society and be left alone, according to the left, is antibody levels. But antibody levels are not determinant as to whether your body fights off an infection. Antibodies appear after the infection sets in, generally speaking. That is why your body produces antibodies in response to both the vaccine as well as to the actual disease. But then the antibodies tend to wane, but you still have T-cell and B-cell memory, which is how you actually fight off infection. Your body still remembers how to fight off the infection, but we don't have great tests for that, which is why you still have all these idiots out there saying that natural immunity, unless you have antibodies in your system, natural immunity is useless. That's nonsense. It's not science. It is anti-science. So how are you even going to determine how many shots these kids need? If you're measuring by antibody levels, presumably you need a shot like every 5 minutes. But you shouldn't be measuring by antibody levels, because we already know that once you've been infected with COVID, your chances of hospitalization and death are low. We already know that once you've been vaccinated, your chance of hospitalization and death is low. But we're not measuring your chances of hospitalization and death. No one cares about the only stat that matters, hospitalization and death. No one cares. Instead, they're focusing in on measures that allow the panic to be prolonged. The panic must be prolonged, because the longer the panic lasts, the more your government coddies can tell you that they ought to have more control over you, that they have to control the science, even though they are not actually following the science. Their current medical guidance does not make any internal sense. It makes no internal sense. You still have the CDC making the case that everybody, including the vaccinated, should mask up in close indoor spaces, but also saying that if you are wearing a cloth mask within 5 feet of somebody who has COVID and that person tests positive, you don't have to go home from school. Explain that one. There's no internal logic to any of this. It has now become a matter of faith. And the faith is not in God. The faith is not in science. The faith is in your administrative government leadership to fix all of your problems. And if there is a continued problem, that's obviously because you did not perform the self-flagellating rituals expected by you, of you, by the experts. If only you had flagellated yourself harder, if only you'd worn 4 masks, if you had voted for Joe Biden, if only you had done all of these things, everything would have been fine. By the way, there are indicators that this was the paganistic way we were going to approach COVID last year, when we were told that you were not protected from COVID if you protested lockdown, but you were most certainly protected from COVID if you were spitting all over each other for George Floyd. This is purely political. It has nothing to do with the actual science. It has to do with maintaining the veneer that the elites actually have the capacity, the great priest-like capacity, to control the great gods of COVID so long as you make the sacrifice and your kids make the sacrifice, and it's nonsense. And the lockdown is getting worse. Okay, it's not getting better. When I say the lockdown, I mean the informational lockdown. They must maintain control at all costs, because once the myth implodes that these people actually are capable of fixing the problem, you have no reason to give them power anymore, and they know it. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. A federal court reinstated Texas's pro-life law tonight just one day after a federal judge blocked the measure which bans abortions after a fetal heartbeat can be detected. On Wednesday, U.S. District Judge Robert Pittman, an appointee of President Barack Obama, issued an order suspending the Texas law, but the New Orleans-based appeals court quickly granted Texas's request to set aside Pittman's order for now while the case is being reviewed. It ordered the Justice Department to respond by Tuesday. The prospect of another Trump bid for the White House is raising concerns for Democrats.
Here's Mr. Trump will again make a bid for the White House are starting to be felt among key Democrats. Mike Morley, a strategist who served as an aide to Majority Leader Charles Schumer, says of the former president, quote, no one should underestimate his ability to energize the base, and Democrats would be foolish to think he would be easy to take down. Amid falling poll numbers for President Biden, there's good news for Mr. Trump in the recent Harvard Caps Harris poll survey out last month. It showed 58% of the GOP voters surveyed would want Mr. Trump to be the Republican nominee in 2024. Bob Agnew reporting.
A new poll shows Americans agree that misinformation is a problem. Correspondent Mike Kempen reports.
95% of Americans have identified misinformation as a problem when they're trying to access important information. A new poll from the Pearson Institute and the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research reveals about half blame the U.S. government, while three-quarters point to social media users and tech companies. 53% say they're not concerned that they have spread misinformation, but about 6 in 10 are at least somewhat concerned that their friends or family members have been part of the problem. Mike Hemp in Washington.
On Wall Street, the Dow down by 8 points, the NASDAQ dropped 74. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance to buy $1 million of affordable term life for you. All you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-555-2085. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-555-2085. 800-555-2085.
Media groups have welcomed the 2021 Nobel Peace Prize for journalists who have battled to confront misinformation globally.
Human rights activists and many others have enthusiastically welcomed the awarding of this year's prize to journalist Maria Ressa of the Philippines and Dmitry Muratov of Russia at a time when media groups around the world face new pressures and crackdowns from the authorities. Another new threat is the rise of misinformation, even in established democracies. The Committee to Protect Journalists says Ressa and Muratov are under personal threat and continuously defy censorship and repression to report the news, leading the way for others to do the same. Charles de Ledesma, London.
The NFL is accusing Dallas Cowboys offensive lineman Lael Collins of trying to bribe a drug testing official before the player was suspended 5 games for a violation of the substance abuse policy. News and analysis at townhall.com. Germany's foreign minister is the latest European Union representative to express concern about a Polish constitutional court ruling that Poland's national law trumps EU law.
Mr. Morawiecki said Poland's entry to the EU in 2004 was one of the highlights of recent decades. He said Poland's place is and will be in the European family of nations. However, his challenge to the bloc's legal order has raised the stakes in his government's ongoing dispute with Brussels. Ministers from France and Germany say Poland must follow the EU's rules. But Mr. Morawiecki insists the EU is overstepping its powers and has no right to criticise Poland for the way it organises its judiciary.
BBC correspondent Adam Easton reporting from Warsaw, Poland. Tata Sons, India's oldest and largest conglomerate, will be the new owner of the country's debt-laden national carrier, Air India. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Al Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. For peace of mind, whenever you go online, visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Well, big tech wants to control the information you see. Now Google and YouTube are announcing that they're just going to demonetize any video that does not follow the so-called climate change consensus. This is according to Bloomberg. The new prohibition applies to commercials Google places online, as well as the websites and YouTube videos that run Google ads. It includes any content that denies human contributions to global warming or treats climate change as a hoax or a scam, Google said in a blog post on Thursday. Earlier this week, Google released several eco-friendly features for search, maps, and other services. In recent years, YouTube has tried to stop recommending climate deniers to viewers. Facebook Inc. has taken similar steps on its platform. For its new rules, Google said it consulted with experts behind the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. The company will begin enforcing the ban in November. Okay, so here's one of the problems. The left has a really nasty habit of conflating anything they don't like on climate change with climate denial. So if you're Bjorn Lomborg and you point out that the world isn't going to end because of climate change, and in fact fewer people year on year have been dying thanks to climate change over the course of the last century, like dramatically fewer, like down from 500,000 at the beginning of the century in 1900 to probably less than 10,000 today. If you point that sort of stuff out, then people on the left will say you're a climate denier. Even if you say climate change is happening, even if you say the majority of climate change is likely human caused, if you do not embrace the Green New Deal, or if you say, listen, the climate is warming, and that's not a reason for panic. Humans are very good at being adaptable. The economic growth that we are likely to experience over the course of the century is one of the great mitigators against the damage done by climate change. Perhaps we should stop worrying so much about cutting our emissions and start worrying a little bit more about mitigation and adaptation strategies like building seawalls or geoengineering. If you say that sort of stuff, folks on the left will still call you a climate denier. But the basic principle is the one that's really troublesome. Okay, the basic principle is that if you deny the scientific consensus on climate change, you must be banned. You must be. Now, we already saw this with COVID. It's a pretty ugly effect throughout the pandemic, right? We saw people saying that if you at the beginning of the pandemic said that people, you should wear masks, you were denying the science, you were anti-WHO. And then it was, if you mentioned the fact that this looks a lot like a lab leak from China, that was shadow banned or openly banned from advertising. And then if you talk about hydroxychloroquine, that was anti-science. Right? Over and over again, it was the scientific consensus says X. And then it was 5 minutes later, the scientific consensus has changed. Okay, well, what about the people? How did it change? How? Magically? Or was it pressure from the outside, from people asking serious questions? I remember that we did an episode, I would say back in maybe February, probably. The CDC had released new guidelines about masking in public places. This is before Delta. And the new guidelines basically said that even if you were vaccinated, you couldn't do anything. And I got on the air and I ripped up and down the CDC. I said, this is unscientific. And YouTube contacted us. They were like, well, you're contradicting the CDC, the vaunted, all-knowing CDC. And we were like, right, because the CDC's wrong. And we had to take down the episode for a bit, right? All of this. Okay, so what happened? 2 weeks later, the CDC turned around and did exactly what I told them to do. I mean, literally what I told them to do. We put up a chart, and the chart was, on one side, people wearing masks, and on the other side, people not wearing masks, basically. And the idea was, under what circumstances should you mask and not? And I went down the chart and I said, everyone on this side should be green, meaning if you're vaccinated, you should be able to unmask. 2 weeks later, the CDC changed it, mirroring my exact policy prescriptions. Did we get back the revenue that YouTube had removed from us because I contradicted the all-knowing CDC? Of course not. Because this is the way that the quote-unquote scientific consensus is protected. You must trust the experts. This is why Anthony Fauci says idiotic things like, I'm the science. Why would you doubt me? Why would you? I don't know why you doubt me. I'm the science. And if you disagree with me, it's because you hate science. Or maybe that's not how science works, you jackass. Right now, the left will tell you there's a scientific consensus that if you have gender dysphoria, the solution to that is to cut off your genitals. How long do you think that's going to be the scientific consensus? My guess is that's not going to be the scientific consensus for very long, and that is being astroturfed. Alrighty, we'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, if you own a home and you haven't refied, what exactly are you waiting for? The Fed is already talking about raising rates, but right now, mortgage rates are lower than ever. That means you could easily drop your rate and your monthly payment. All you have to do is call American Financing. That's America's home for home loans. Take advantage of a free mortgage review. That's right, free, meaning no pressure, no obligation, no upfront or hidden fees. Just a simple conversation with a salary-based mortgage consultant. Someone who's going to listen to you and guide you. So, you're getting a custom loan that achieves your goals. From lower rates to shorter terms, even debt consolidation, they've got you covered. So, don't put off a refi any longer. There are still options in the twos, but they can't stay this low forever. Pre-qualify for free by calling 866-721-3300. That's 866-721-3300. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. If you haven't thought about refiing over the course of the last couple of years, you're probably missing out. You could be saving yourself literally hundreds or thousands of dollars a month in mortgage fees. Why miss out? Instead, head on over to AmericanFinancing.net, see what they can do for you, or give them a call, 866-721-3300. Okay, all of this is rooted in the idea that if you just control top-down the flow of information, then the elites will solve all of your problems. This is why you get AOC out there saying things like, you know, our climate change provisions, what we're pushing on in terms of climate change, that's simply the science. You think this lady knows the science from a hole in the ground? She knows science. Do you know how to spell? I mean, what are you talking about? Here is AOC giving a disquisition on the science via her degree from Boston University in international economics, which apparently couldn't even teach her enough to understand how basic markets work.
Some of the climate provisions that we have, we cannot afford to increase carbon or just fossil fuel emissions at this time. That is simply the science. That is not something we can kick down the line. Right now, both the IPCC report saying that this is code red for humanity, as well as recent reporting saying that if you're under 40, like myself, like millions of Americans, you will be seeing a catastrophic increase in the
amount. You're going to run right into Senator Joe Manchin on those issues, mm-hmm. though. You know that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I think Senator Manchin's going to run to the science as well.
No, he's not, because what you're saying is not scientific. Yes, we can afford to continue fossil fuel increases. It depends on what the countervailing cost is. The real question is, can we afford your garbage Green New Deal, which subsumes economic growth, which is the greatest protector against climate change vicissitude in human history? It turns out people are really subject to the whims of the climate when they are super poor. When you live in a corrugated iron shack, and there's a hurricane, you got a big problem. When you live in a nice house in South Florida with hurricane glass, you're not nearly as scared of the hurricanes. So economic growth is a rather major indicator as to whether you are going to die from climate change, but she doesn't care about any of that. But again, the notion is that if you just silence the other side, if you just say that we won't monetize any videos on climate change, we won't monetize any videos that deny the scientific consensus about lab leaks, you are not in control of the process. But they have to maintain control of the process. The authoritarianism is critical to them. They need the authoritarian control of informational dissemination. It's why they're targeting Facebook right now. They need to make sure that no other data can slip through the cracks. Because once that facade of total ability to control is broken, it can never be restored. Once people have seen through the veil and they realize that it is not a matter of just getting the right elite in power to hit that magic button, that instead, what it really is a matter of is recognizing there is no magic button. There isn't. In life, there's no magic button where there is some magical king who is going to fix all of your problems if you give him ultimate power over your life. Once people realize that, maybe we'll actually be able to live with each other. Maybe we'll stop caring so much about what the federal government does, because the federal government can't fix all your damn problems. Maybe we'll start to recognize that most problem solving happens at the local level, not by delegating power to idiots like AOC, or delegating power to self-righteous twerps like Anthony Fauci, or delegating power to befuddled old morons like Joe Biden, who can't even string a sentence together, but is telling you how he's going to fix the entire American economy if you give him entire power and fix COVID while he's at it, after spending a year doing neither. Maybe if we realize that it's not a matter of just switching those people out for more competent and better people, it is a matter of not giving them power in the first place, because no human being is capable of fixing the kind of problems these people claim to be able to fix. That is not a thing. Once they realize that, there's no going back. And then their power really is gone. They need to maintain the monopoly over information. They need to maintain monopolistic interventionary power. They need it. They need it. And this is why you say Senator Ed Markey, who's a top-down command and control socialist, saying that no climate, no reconciliation, right? This is why they're pushing climate change in the reconciliation deal, right?
And while we still have a long way to go to meet our goal of net zero emissions globally by 2050, failure to act now will make this goal nearly impossible to achieve. So here's the deal. Climate cannot and will not be cut. No climate, no deal.
Right, because the science, because they're not going to stop the world from getting warmer. Nothing they are doing is going to prevent serious amounts of climate emissions. It's coming from China and India at this point. And by the way, they're in complete denial over the actual measures that might reduce carbon emissions. They don't want nuclear power. They don't want natural gas to replace coal. They don't want any of that stuff. Right? Any practical solutions are verboten. Because again, they don't want the solution. The solution is the enemy. The solution is the problem. The control is the point. And solutions are natural. Like, they can't let people be people, because if they let people be people, it might suggest that cosmic justice is not available at the push of that ridiculous button. Alrighty, coming up, New York City has decided that its gifted students are screwed because there are too many white and Asian gifted students. We'll get to that in a moment. First, I'm a unique dude. You're unique as well. You need a mattress made specifically for you. This is what Helix Sleep does. Helix Sleep built a quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. If you like a mattress that's really soft or firm, if you sleep on your side or your back or your stomach, if you sleep really hot, with Helix, there's a specific mattress for each and everybody's unique taste. Like me. Just go to helixsleep.com/Shapiro. They will match you to a mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. I sleep on a Helix mattress, but you don't need to take my word for it. Helix was rated best mattress of 2019 by both GQ and Wired magazine. Everything is made right here in America. They've got a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. If you try Helix and you don't like it, they'll pick it up right for you. No problem. Right now, Helix is offering up to $200 off your mattress order. Get up to $200 off at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. And I sleep on a Helix Sleep mattress every night. Let me tell you, I sleep like a baby because the mattress was made just for me. So in those moments when my own baby is not keeping me awake, I can sleep as she should be doing. Go check them out right now. HelixSleep.com/Shapiro. Save up to $200 off your mattress order. Already coming up, New York City cracking down on the gifted. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, New York is now deciding to crack down on gifted kids because there are just too many white and Asian gifted kids. So, New York is phasing out its gifted and talented program. According to the New York Times, Mayor Bill de Blasio will overhaul New York City's highly selective, racially segregated gifted and talented education classes. And now, notice how the New York Times covers that. These classes are not racially segregated. There is not a single law anywhere in America that allows you to racially segregate classes. They're not racially segregated. Normally, when we speak about racial segregation, we talk about a government policy or even a local policy or a private policy that says black people here, white people here. No such policy exists in New York City. It's illegal. It's a federal violation of civil rights law to do that. It is not legal under Brown versus Board and under the Civil Rights Act. But according to the New York Times, New York City, like the heart of liberalism, is racially segregating its classes. That's not actually what's happening. And they say Mayor Bill de Blasio will overhaul New York City's highly selective, racially segregated, gifted and talented education classes, a sea change for the nation's largest public school system that may amount to the mayor's most significant act in the waning months of his tenure. The elementary school gifted and talented program that New York has known for the last several decades will no longer exist for incoming kindergarten students next fall. Within a few years, it will be eliminated completely, city officials told the New York Times. Students currently enrolled in gifted classes will become the final cohort in the existing system, which will be replaced by a program that offers accelerated learning to all students in the later years of elementary school. The gradual elimination of the existing program will remove a major component of what many consider to be the city's two-tiered education system, in which one relatively small, largely white and Asian American group of students gain access to the highest performing schools, while many black and Latino children remain in schools that are struggling. Now, notice what's happening here. The reason these highly gifted magnets are quote-unquote racially segregated, which they are not, is because there are tests given to determine whether you get to go to a gifted school or a magnet school. And it turns out white and Asian kids are doing too well, particularly Asian kids. First of all, pretty weird that we now have racial segregation that includes Asians. That's kind of strange. That's kind of a new addition. Kind of kills the whole it's white versus black when Asian Americans are making up a vast disproportionate share of people in the gifted programs. But what is this really about? What this is really about is black and Latino students in New York City are scoring lower on the tests than white and Asian American students. So kill the tests. Kill the schools. Force those kids who are doing better on the test to go back to schools that are designed to teach people who are performing less well on tests. Mediocrity, equality through mediocrity is preferable to flourishing through meritocracy. Equality through mediocrity is preferable to these command and control asshats to actual flourishing through meritocracy. New York, home to one of the most racially segregated school systems in the country, like the New York Times thinks that if they just keep repeating that New York is forcibly racially segregating, it becomes true. It is not true. It has never been true. It is not true right now. The move represents one of Mr. de Blasio's most dramatic actions to combat segregation in city schools. It's just amazing. They're just going to repeat it over and over. Though it also puts New York more in line with how other cities are approaching their own segregated gifted classes. About 75% of the roughly 16,000 students in gifted elementary school classes in New York are white or Asian American. Those groups make up about 25% of the overall school system. Though the mayor has long promised to tackle inequality in city schools, he has been criticized by some for not taking more forceful action on desegregation until the end of his mayoralty. The change presents an unwelcome challenge for Mr. de Blasio's almost certain successor, Eric Adams, a Democratic nominee for mayor, who would have to implement an entirely new gifted education system during his first year in office. Adams, who is black, by the way, has expressed skepticism about overhauling the gifted system. Instead, he said he wanted to offer more gifted programs in low-income neighborhoods. But New York will no longer admit rising kindergarten students into separate gifted classes or schools starting next fall. Instead, the city will train all its kindergarten teachers, roughly 4,000 educators, to accommodate students who need accelerated learning within their general education classrooms. Okay, let me just tell you, this is not going to work. The reason it's not going to work is because every educational study ever done shows that the cohort of students you hang out with makes a difference in your academic development. If you take a gifted kid and you put the gifted kid in with the non-gifted kids, the gifted kid does not make the other non-gifted kids smarter. The precise opposite happens. The teacher has to expend their energy on the bulk of the classroom, which is not the gifted kid. The gifted kid is very often put in the corner, handed an algebra book, and told, learn it yourself, which is not effective. It isn't. Okay, I know this personally because I went to a magnet school when I was in junior high. The kids there were incredibly smart. Everybody was accelerated. And then I had just come from a private Jewish day school, which did not have the capacity to handle its most gifted students. It's the reason we moved to public school. And that's literally what happened. The math teacher came over and handed me an Algebra 2 book and said, learn it, because she had to worry about the other kids in the class. Barring any dramatic moves by the incoming administration, they are now going to change the entire system. The city does not yet have an estimate for how much the training will cost. It'll be tens of millions of dollars, all because they want to avoid the basic reality that some kids score better on tests, and some kids are smarter, and some kids are not as smart. Okay, period. And that is not a race-based statement. That is an individual-based statement, because tests aren't given to races. They are given to individuals. And if there are fewer individuals in a given race who are doing poorly, like among Asian Americans, fewer individuals are doing poorly on the tests, so be it. Using group data to fix individual data is, of course, ridiculous and silly. But the idea is that these guys are so good, they can hit a button, and not only will we get all the gifted students to remain gifted, all the non-gifted students will become gifted. All you have to do is give them the power. Just give them the power to wreck the system, and they will fix the system for you. Now, none of them have ever fixed the system. This is Barack Obama's entire shtick. He got into office in 2008. And instead of, like prior presidents, saying, here's what I can do and here's what I can't do, he said, I could do anything except that these buffoons keep getting in the way and bothering me. Right? It's these people on the right who keep getting in my way. I don't know who Bill de Blasio blames exactly, considering the entire city of New York is deep blue. But it doesn't matter. The myth must be maintained at all costs. It must be maintained. And what this is going to cause in the end is a continuation of the big sort that we're seeing. And there's a reason that Tesla is now moving to Texas. The reason that Tesla is moving to Texas is because Texas does not believe that there ought to be some God king who is appointed to fix all problems, who ought to be the super CEO over Tesla. In Texas, they say Elon Musk ought to run his company and we ought to mind our own business, which is why Elon Musk is moving the entire company over to Texas. According to Biz Journals, the CEO said October 7th, that Tesla would now base itself in Central Texas. It has a $1.1 billion gigafactory rising in eastern Travis County. He said, I'm excited that we are moving our headquarters to Austin, Texas. He said they still are going to have plants in California. He says we're just going to increase our output from other places. He says it's going to be great to emphasize again, we're going to continue to expand in California, but even more so here in Texas. There's a reason why they're doing that. The reason is because California is trying to gain control. Once again, all about control. The lie has to be maintained. See through the lie. See through it. They cannot fix your problems. The vast majority of your problems, only you are capable of fixing. Stop looking to some godlike politician who's really just a venal jackass who wants power to fix your problems. Joe Biden ain't fixing anybody's problems. Joe Biden can't even spit out a sentence at this point. Here's Joe Biden today trying to read his name from a teleprompter. Yeah, it didn't work out well.
The Ohio, Pennsylvania. I'm from Pennsylvania. The Illinois president of Don Harmon. State Senator Laura Murphy, State Rep Martin Moylan, and we got great labor leaders here, too. Tim, where's Tim? There you go. Tim, thank you. Thank you, pal. AFL-CIO State President. And Jeff Isaacson, United Brotherhood of Carpenters, and Don Finn, IBW, and Robert Reiter, Reiter, Chicago Federation of Labor.
Okay, so you can either have this dumb cup run your life, or you could run it yourself. Those are your choices. There's no third choice where he's really good at this stuff, or anybody is really good at this stuff. Alrighty, coming up, Senator Roger Marshall from Kansas will stop by to talk about the economy and also about the military vaccination mandates. It turns out that if you refuse to get the vaccine at this point, they may dishonorably discharge you. He's trying to change all of that. Senator Marshall stops by momentarily. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
North State Now, the magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Albee from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com. A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868. 221-5868. MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge.
Palm Beach County Public Schools is being sued by PJI on behalf of 36 parents and 41 children. You see, the district is violating Florida state law and Florida's Parents' Bill of Rights with its school mask mandate. The state allows parents to opt out of such mandates.
Learn more about our ministry and get exclusive email updates by registering for The Legal Insider at pji.org.
On 32.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us online is Senator Roger Marshall. Dr. Marshall represents Kansas in the United States Senate. He is now promoting legislation prohibiting the Department of Defense from dishonorably discharging service members for choosing not to receive a COVID-19 vaccine. Senator Marshall, really appreciate the time.
It's great to be with you again.
So let's talk about what the actual regulations are for service members at this point with regard to COVID-19. The basic idea seems to be that if they refuse to get a vaccine, even if they have natural immunity, then they theoretically could be dishonorably discharged, correct?
Ben, that's it. It's really pretty simple. This White House wants to separate every soldier who's refusing to take the vaccine. He wants to make them a felon and give them a dishonorable discharge. And I think what your listeners need to realize is just how horrible a dishonorable discharge is. It's basically making you a felon. It's going to keep in many states you from being able to vote. It's going to take away your Second Amendment. It'll probably keep you from getting a job. You're going to lose all your veterans' benefits, access to the VA hospitals, as well as any type of retirement money as well. So this is a horrible thing to do to soldiers. And yes, you mentioned they do not acknowledge natural immunity.
So has there been any bipartisan support for what you're attempting here, which is to at least allow people, if they're going to leave with an honorable discharge as opposed to a dishonorable? Or is this breaking down purely along partisan lines?
You know, unfortunately, it's still on partisan lines. We hope if we could get a floor vote, perhaps with the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization dollars here at the end of the month, maybe we'll get bipartisan support, because there has been some bipartisan support on the House for this.
So, Senator Marshall, so much of this seems to be tied to the Biden administration's notion that if they just yell loud enough about vaccine mandates, that somehow they will yell their way out of their own bad policy. Joe Biden yesterday was talking about broad-based vaccine mandates. By the way, he still has not issued a regulation from OSHA. He said a month ago he was going to issue an actual government regulation via OSHA that was going to force businesses to either vaccinate the people who work for them, fire them, or test them. Those were the three opportunities that were going to be afforded, apparently. Biden still has not issued that regulation. He's just jabbering about how wonderful vaccine mandates are at this point. I think the reason, by the way, that he has not issued regulation along those lines is he's very much afraid the courts will not only shoot it down, but may shoot down the Chevron doctrine at the same time and completely undermine the administrative state. But the focus from this administration seems to be our failures, our economic failures, our COVID policy failures. They're entirely the result of your neighbors and friends who refuse to get vaccinated. And so if you just give me more power, and if you allow me to punish more of your enemies, then we will punish and authoritarian our way out of this thing.
Yeah, you're right. I call this Bidenflation. The policies of Joe Biden have led to inflation. We'll just call it Bidenflation. And this policy of mandates for all employers is only going to exacerbate that situation. I think we're going to have some horrible jobs numbers today. I think, gosh, I don't know if you've been to the grocery store lately, but I was stunned. I hadn't been in about 6 weeks. And I was just stunned Sunday night when I went to the grocery store, let alone at the gas pump. So this policy, not only is it unconstitutional. Look, we all know a federal mandate for vaccines is going to be unconstitutional. But he's never really paid attention to whether it was within the limits of the law or not. He's Joe Biden, and he can do anything he wants to do. He's acting like a totalitarian. He's turning this country into a socialistic country. Ben, I think the big choice America has today, do we want a free economy, or do you want big government socialism? We could really sum all the laws that this president and Nancy Pelosi are pushing by those two phrases. Which does America want? A free economy, or do they want big government socialism?
So, Senator Marshall, obviously, some of the issues that we're talking about here have sort of broader play when it comes to Joe Biden and his Build Back Better agenda and all the rest of this. So obviously the Republican caucus sort of split last night over the issue on whether to push off the debt ceiling for a couple of months. It seems like there was pretty solid Republican support for not doing that. Somehow it seems that that sort of split up. What was the actual strategy there? Like behind the scenes, what exactly was Senate Minority Leader McConnell suggesting was the rationale for why the Republicans had to basically let the Democrats off the hook instead of forcing them to use reconciliation to pass the debt ceiling?
You know, I think number one is just it shows Democrat incompetence. So many of the people on the other side have never signed a paycheck, have never ran a job, have never gone without a paycheck because they had to pay their help first. And I think this just demonstrates their incompetence. They could have easily done this through a reconciliation process, but they want to play political gymnastics with this, I would say. And, you know, behind the scenes, you think about the filibuster and how important that is. I think there was concern that we would lose the filibuster if we didn't give in somehow, some way. Since the Democrats waited till the 11th hour to get something done, the old filibuster issue started coming up. And I want to, again, realize what losing the filibuster would mean. If we lost the filibuster, the first thing that happens, Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. become a state. We lose the minority forever. They pack the court, and we never have a Republican majority again. So I think it came down to almost Russian roulette. Keep the filibuster or lose this battle. We didn't want to win the battle but lose the war. So we'll live to fight another day. America really should turn its focus, though, back onto this reckless spending, reckless taxing that's going to lead to more Bidenflation.
Yeah, Senator Marshall, one more question on that. When if it comes down to September, because this is only a temporary debt ceiling increase, if this comes down to December again, and the Democrats have now had a long-lasting opportunity to hash out all of their differences over Build Back Better, and they still have not come to a conclusion, and they still don't want to use reconciliation in order to pass the debt ceiling. Do Republicans just extend it again? What are the limits to Republican patience here?
Yeah, that's a good question. And that's the political gymnastics we're going to have to run through. I'm much more focused right now on stopping their $5.5 trillion. I think it'll be $7 trillion of spending than I am worried about the debt limit right now. I think the debt limit will actually end up, we gave them enough leeway. One thing we did win, one victory on the debt ceiling we did win was a number. They wanted a blank checkbook. They wanted an open-ended credit card. So we do have a finite number, how much more money they can borrow. I think that those dollars could go into late December, early January, and then not make it part of this game. So let's get locked in right now on what we can control, and that's stopping the $7 trillion bill that, again, is going to lead to more Bidenflation.
So let's talk for a second about that $7 trillion bill, because obviously we've got this $1.2 trillion infrastructure package, the bipartisan infrastructure package, and it seems like the basic deal here for Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema was if Republicans provide a certain level of support for that, then they will minimize the size of the countervailing Build Back Better $3.5 trillion boondoggle package. Joe Manchin seems to be sticking to his guns at $1.5 trillion. It looks like the Biden administration is steadily moving down toward Manchin and Sinema. They started off at $3.5 trillion. They're now down at about $2 trillion, $1.9 trillion. It looks more and more likely that something is going to get done here. What should Republicans do at this point? Because, again, that there's not anything in that package that is really worthy of Republican support.
Yeah, I think we gave Senator Sinema and Senator Manchin enough air cover to keep fighting for another day. But I'm going to just share with this, and I shared this yesterday in conference with the rest of the Republicans. I'm probably more worried about the policy going for as much as I am the dollar amount. And what I'm talking about is the taxes. What taxes do Joe and Kirsten want to keep, and what ones do they get rid of? The good news is when I sit down with both of those senators and look them in the eye, they actually understand stepped-up bases. They understand what a 1031 exchange is. They understand what happens if we start taxing capital gains as ordinary income and how that will destroy the economy. So I think what Republicans have to keep doing is keep working with Joe and Kirsten and giving them some air cover so they can keep fighting. But we need to really get locked in on this tax policy, which, again, leads to big government socialism.
I mean, it seems as though right now the Democrats are still working on a pretty compressed timeline because for a couple of reasons. One, the economic report that just came out today is absolutely horrible for Joe Biden. I mean, it's terrible for the country. It's terrible for Biden. 194,000 jobs added, which is like lower than many of the months of, say, the Obama administration, which was famously a low growth administration. Those job numbers are awful, especially coming out of an artificially comatose economy. Last year, we were supposed to be experiencing like 7-digit job growth nearly month on month. We have 10 million open jobs in this country right now. Goldman Sachs had forecast there are going to be 600,000 to 700,000 new jobs added this month. Instead, it's less than 200,000 jobs added. Wow. It's perfectly obvious that this is a direct result of the Biden administration, number one, paying people to stay home. Number two, panicking people about COVID to the extent where they're saying that the unvaxxed are somehow providing a threat to the vaxxed sufficient, that even if you're vaxxed, you should be staying home and freaking out over all of this. The Biden administration pursuing, as you say, bad tax policy that is scaring investors out of actually investing their dollars, because I don't know how many dollars I actually have in my pocket to invest, given the fact that I don't know what my tax rate is going to be if they make the tax rates retroactive to the beginning of the year. I literally have money sitting in bank accounts that I cannot invest because I don't know whether I'm going to owe it to the federal government at the end of the month. The sort of insanity of all of this has led to low growth, and yet the Biden administration continues to push forward on this. I think the reason that they're working on a short timeline is because with this bad economic report, Joe Biden could try to ram this thing forward, but he has done such a poor job at this point that Manchin and Sinema have an awful lot of air cover if they actually wish to kill the thing. Beyond that, we also have a Virginia gubernatorial election that's coming up at the beginning of November. If somehow Glenn Youngkin beats Terry McAuliffe in that election, there are going to be a lot of moderate Democrats who are scared out of their wits, as they should be.
Ben, it sounds like you've been going to my town halls. We've done over 60 town halls since February. The anger is absolutely... you can actually palpate the anger, but now it's turning into panic. That's what we're seeing. We're having probably 3 to 4 times more people come to our town halls than we've ever had before. And the Democrat socialists think Americans are dumb, that they don't get it, that they need a nanny. But Americans do get it. They've seen one crisis after another created by this president. You know, you could go back to the border, violence, inflation, Afghanistan, and now vaccine mandates. And they realize what's happening. And they certainly feel the sting when they go to the grocery store and feel that Bidenflation as well. So you're spot on. And that's why we got to keep the volume up. Don't let them lull you to sleep on all these gymnastics that they want to talk about. When it comes to debt ceiling, we need to stay locked in on stopping this legislation that I think, again, just put it all together. It's going to be $7 trillion. Let's stop talking about bipartisan infrastructure plan and human infrastructure, which is socialism. They want to spend $7 trillion over 10 years. They're going to come back and say, no, it's only 1.5. But once you start some of these policies, you're never going to stop them. I'm going to give your listeners one example. They want to take dollars away from Medicare to pay for some of their infrastructure. Medicare folks don't want this. They want to expand Medicare, and it's going to dilute those people that are on Medicare right now. We are already facing a financial crisis with Medicare. Let's not compound it.
We're speaking with Senator Roger Marshall of the state of Kansas. Senator Marshall, appreciate your hard work on these issues, and keep fighting, because obviously the country is a pretty large precipice right here.
You bet, Ben. Great to see you, and I appreciate you covering these issues in depth for your listeners.
Coming up, we'll be talking with Representative Kevin Brady from Texas' 8th Congressional District, who has some news on the Bureau of Labor Statistics employment report. It really is bad. I mean, it's just a bad, bad report. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, using the internet without ExpressVPN, this is a bad idea. It's like checking in your baggage at the airport with no TSA lock. You think that your stuff is safe, but then you have somebody sniffing your underwear. That's just a bad idea. When you go online without a VPN, ISPs can see every single website you visit. They can legally sell that information without your consent to ad companies and tech giants, who then use that data to target you. When you use ExpressVPN, ISPs can't see your online activity. Your identity is anonymized by a secure VPN server. Your data is also encrypted for maximum protection. ExpressVPN is exceedingly easy to use. Just fire up the app, click one button. ExpressVPN also works on all your devices. Phones, laptops, even routers. Everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected. Secure your online activity today by visiting expressvpn.com/Ben. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben. You can get an extra 3 months for free. ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. It's ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Get that extra 3 months for free and protect your internet activity today. You really cannot afford to just leave your data sitting out there for anybody to grab hold of. That's your data protected. ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Already coming up, we'll be joined by Representative Kevin Brady, who sits on the House Ways and Means Committee. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Ah!
right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're joined on the line by Representative Kevin Brady, who represents Texas's 8th Congressional District, and he's the third Texan in history to chair the powerful House Ways and Means Committee. He served on that committee for 2 decades. Representative Brady, thanks so much for joining the show.
Good. Thanks for having me, Ben.
So let's talk about this disastrous economic report. It is a horrifically bad economic report. 194,000 jobs added in September. Those are numbers that look like the kind of doldrums of the Obama administration. We should be booming, right? I mean, we're coming out of it. We're coming out of a pandemic, a comatose economy, artificially induced coma, and we have a vaccine. We should be adding maybe 1 million jobs a month. We should not be adding 194,000 jobs a month.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. This is just a reminder of the Obama-Biden recovery, the worst economic recovery in our lifetimes. These jobs numbers, the expectations have already been dumbed down every month because of the president's disappointing track record. And this one wasn't even half of that. And so it's dreadful news, certainly for a slowing recovery. Secondly, it's equally dreadful news for Main Street businesses. Folks are not coming back off the sidelines. That for our Main Street businesses, our manufacturers, what that means is this recovery is going to be much slower and prices will continue to rise. And we, by the way, like you, we keep track of the president's promises. So at this point, from his last COVID stimulus, the American Rescue Plan, he's now 944,000 jobs short already from what he promised the American people. Here he wants to add on trillions more. This is just a bad recipe. My point would be, if this were a football team, at this point in the season with this losing record, that coach would be looking for a new job.
I mean, it is pretty unbelievable. And every measure that has been pushed by this administration is exacerbating the problem. We have massive price inflation. We had wage gains of over 4%, but inflation of over 5% over the course of the last month, according to the new statistics. We've seen quarterly growth in the stock market of 0.2%, which is not what should be happening in the middle of a supposedly booming national recovery. We've seen the Federal Reserve trying to buy bonds in order to stimulate the economy and nobody taking out the loans because businesses have no guarantee that they're going to see any of that money, considering that Joe Biden wants to remove all that money from the economy via extraordinary levels of taxation, translating capital gains taxes into income taxes, radically increasing the corporate tax. All of this stuff is leading people not to invest. It's leading people to hold their money back. It's leading people to stay on the sidelines if you're a worker because you're getting paid to stay home. And it's leading to price inflation at the same time. And somehow we're supposed to believe that if we give Joe Biden more power and, I don't know, 3.5, 5, 7 trillion more bucks, that this is going to fix the problem.
Yeah, that is. So look at this track record. You know, not only are there, frankly, more COVID deaths, sadly, under President Biden than under President Trump, but to your point, 2021 was expected to be just a boom year because it had everything going for it. An economy that had beat expectations in recovering. You had regions finally reopening. You had trillions of dollars of COVID stimulus bill and stimulus money and life-saving vaccines. But the opposite has happened. Back through the first 7 months, this president had created less jobs than President Trump had done, even during the height of the pandemic. Now you're seeing, look, these workers are not coming off the sidelines at all. And that's because I think not just because of the stimulus checks and those very lavish unemployment, but now the child tax credit, which has started about a month ago. And again, for the first time since Republicans created the child tax credit in 1997 to help offset the cost of kids, but also as incentive to return to work as part of welfare reform, Democrats untethered that big child tax credit from any earnings and any work. So we're already hearing from restaurants, I guess, especially get hit the hardest, saying, look, they're losing good workers because they're getting paid more. They can stay home. And we're seeing that they want to make that permanent, some of these anti-work measures permanent in this big tax and spending bill.
Now, Representative Brady, it looks as though the legislative window for the Democratic Party may be closing pretty fast here, because by the time we hit next year, we're going to be into the midterms. It's going to be very difficult to get moderate Democrats on board for the Biden administration to pass any far-ranging policy here. And meanwhile, the negotiation of this Build Back Better plan is lasting a lot longer than I think Joe Biden wanted it to last. We have this economic report, which demonstrates once again that Biden's plans have been a complete failure. We've blown more money into the economy than God or man has ever seen. And it's actually creating the problem. Even the New York Times today was admitting that the transitory stimulus provided by Congress is actually backfiring, or at the very least, it is petering out. So it seems like time is running out in terms of the economics of the situation. It also seems like time is running out politically, because we have a big Virginia gubernatorial race that's coming up at the beginning of November. If somehow Terry McAuliffe, former DNC head, loses to Glenn Youngkin in a state that has been trending pretty solidly blue for the last decade or so, that's going to be a shot across the bow for a lot of Democrats who are in purple districts who may be thinking about their careers.
You know, I think they are, Ben. And look, when the governor, Democrat governor, is running and doesn't want President Biden in that state for fear it drags him down further, I know. So I think the big question in Capitol right now, the reason all this is such in disarray up there, is I think what few moderate Democrats are left understand they are on their own. You know, progressives are stripping them naked and leaving them by the side of the road. They understand the president doesn't care about them. And I think they understand with inflation now, new New York Post article, family of four making just $70,000 a year, losing $175 a month just on food and clothing and issues like that. Prices are going to go up higher, by the way. You know, I think they're finally understanding that if they vote for that mess, especially those crippling taxes, they're not coming back. So we need 3 votes in the House to stop this. 2 Democrats voted no in committee to the overall package. So the question is, will they hold? And are there more so-called moderate Democrats willing to step up for their small businesses and U.S. jobs? We're fighting hard to make sure they do.
Now, Representative Brady, really appreciate your work on this. Obviously, a bad time for the American economy. We only hope that it turns around. That would require a difference in policy approach.
Yes,
Representative Kevin Brady from Texas, really appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All righty. Well, we have reached the end of today's show. However, one quick note. Next week, we are having a big event in Nashville at the Ryman Auditorium. It is going to be live streamed. We're going to be making some big announcements for Daily Wire. Our company has been growing by leaps and bounds thanks to you, thanks to listeners like you. And we have some big new stuff that is happening. You're going to want to tune in. We will be live streaming that over at Daily Wire, so you'll be able to check that out as well. Also, next week, we'll continue to maintain a close watch on these negotiations over Build Back Better. Now, the Republicans caved on the debt ceiling, which means that piece of leverage is gone. But that means they're really relying on Manchin and Sinema to hold up their end of the bargain. We'll see if, indeed, the senator from West Virginia and the senator from Arizona actually hold up their end of the bargain and keep pushing the Biden administration down in terms of the number that they are looking for. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. The Coast Guard says an anchor strike on the leaking pipeline off Southern California's coast may have occurred months before the oil spill.
Authorities investigating the oil pipeline break off Southern California said Friday the original damage may have occurred much earlier than first thought.
We're fairly certain that there was one, at least, initiating incident that occurred several months to a year ago.
Captain Jason Neubauer heads the U.S. Coast Guard Office of Investigations and Analysis.
We are now sifting through 1 year worth of automatic identification system data, radar images.
The leak was confirmed last weekend on Saturday morning. The size of the spill remains unknown, but the Coast Guard estimates that from 25,000 gallons to 132,000 gallons leaked off Huntington Beach. I'm Mike Crossia.
President Biden will not invoke executive privilege on Trump White House documents pertaining to the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol.
Former President Trump is trying to block documents being sought by a House committee's investigation into the January 6th attack, but the Biden White House is rejecting Trump's request.
The president has determined that an assertion of executive privilege is not warranted for the first set of documents.
Spokeswoman Jen Psaki insisted there was nothing political about the White House decision and that it's part of an effort to help prevent another incident like January 6th from happening again. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Texas has asked a federal appeals court to swiftly reinstate the strongest pro-life law in the U.S. The request comes Friday as some abortion clinics in the state resumed normal services for the first time since early September. U.S. District Judge Robert Pittman of Austin this week suspended the law known as Senate Bill 8, which bans abortions once cardiac activity is detected, usually around 6 weeks. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 8 points, the Nasdaq dropped 74. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Aunt's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Average long-term mortgage rates declined this week.
The benchmark 30-year loan slipping back below 3%. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac reports that the average rate for a 30-year mortgage eased to 2.99% from 3.01% last week. The rate for a 15-year loan, a popular option for homeowners refinancing their mortgages, fell to 2.23% from 2.28%. John Scott reporting.
Cruise ships are returning to San Francisco after a 19-month hiatus brought on by the pandemic. Mayor London Breed announced Friday the Majestic Princess will sail into the port of San Francisco on Monday. It's the first cruise ship to dock in the San Francisco Bay Area since March 2020, when the Grand Princess captured the world's attention. The ship was carrying people infected with the coronavirus, and thousands on board were quarantined as it idled off the California coast. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters in Washington. United States and Pakistani officials meet amid a worsening relationship between the two countries as each nation searches for a way forward in Afghanistan under Taliban rule. We hear more from correspondent Charles de Ledesma reporting from London.
Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman is seeing a powerful army chief and the foreign minister, as well as Prime Minister Imran Khan, while a Pakistani foreign ministry spokesman says close and regular engagement between his country and the US has always been mutually beneficial and effective for stability in South Asia. Islamabad has been pressing for greater engagement with the all-male, all-Taliban cabinet in Kabul, while Washington, which spent a long period negotiating peace with the Taliban, is still smarting from its chaotic end to 20 years in the country, with much about the aftermath remaining unclear. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters.
What a great way to start your day with a 5K at Turtle Bay. The annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk starts at 9:30 a.m. Saturday, October 9th at Turtle Bay and winds along the scenic Sacramento River and across the Sundial Bridge. There will be three different waves of activity. The first is a race wave for those who are competitive, a second wave, a run wave for those who like to run for fun, and a third wave, a walk wave for those who prefer a leisurely stroll. Whether you like to run or walk, sign up today for the annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk for only $35 for the run and $25 for the walk at carenet.redding.org. Proceeds will go to CareNet, a nonprofit crisis pregnancy center here in Redding. Once you sign up online, you'll receive a link to create your own fundraising page where you can also draw support from those who are unable to attend. There will be a free pancake breakfast courtesy of the Knights of Columbus following the race for participants. It's a great way to start your day with the annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk at Turtle Bay, Saturday, October 9th at 9:30 a.m. Sign up online today at carenet.redding.org.
Hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. For peace of mind whenever you go online, visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Alrighty, so we have the brand new economic report out today. It sucks. It sucks. It sucks because Joe Biden is a very, very bad president. So, economists were forecasting 500,000 jobs added this month. That would have been pretty bad. The reason it would have been pretty bad is because we should be adding like a million jobs a month. We have 10 million open jobs in the United States. So, how many jobs did we actually add in September, I hear you asking? The answer? 194,000 jobs. 194,000 jobs. That is an abysmally terrible job growth month. I mean, that's below the average of like the Obama administration job growth. Okay, that sucks. It's really, really bad. Okay, the reason it is so bad, again, is because we ought to be in a boom time. We had an artificial economic coma last year. And the entire economy was put into an artificial coma so they could prevent the spread of COVID. And then we got vaccines. And those vaccines have been widely available and widely distributed. So the economy should be booming. We should be back to normal. But Joe Biden has not allowed things to get back to normal because of his unbelievably crappy economic policy, taxation and regulation and inflation. Right? Those have driven the economy to new lows. Plus his crappy COVID policy, which has been to yell at you about how dangerous COVID is and to pay you to stay home. All of this has resulted in Jimmy Carter-like stagflation, inflation at the supermarket. Whatever wage increases you've seen have been eaten up by actual price inflation in the United States. Meanwhile, businesses are not investing. So you've got the government lowering the interest rates to try and force businesses to take money out in loans to go invest in their own company. And no one's taking the loans because there's so much uncertainty, economically speaking, because of Joe Biden's Build Back Better bullcrap, that no one's taking the loans. So you're ending up with systemic stagnation at this point because of Joe Biden. That's the story of this economic report. Joe Biden and the media, they're going to try and play this as Delta killed the economy. No. Joe Biden is killing the economy. According to the New York Times, U.S. employers added 194,000 jobs in September, the Labor Department said Friday. That was down from 366,000 in August. You'll remember that was a massive disappointment in August. They expected 750,000 jobs in August, far below the more than 1 million jobs added in July, before the more contagious Delta variant led to a spike in COVID cases. It ain't about the COVID. It's about Joe Biden's approach to the COVID. If you pay people to stay home and tell them that the vaxxed ought to be super scared of the unvaxxed, guess what people do? They don't go to work. You know where people are working? All the red states. There's a reason that the best states for unemployment in the United States right now are almost universally red. Because everybody in those states is like, either I'm vaxxed and I don't care and I'm going to work, or I'm unvaxxed and I don't care and I'm going to work. No one's listening to Joe Biden, so they're all going back to work. The unemployment rate fell to 4.8%, but that is not because there are more people employed on a relative basis. It's because more people are dropping out of the workforce entirely, as Joe Biden promises to pay them to stay out of the workforce. The data released on Friday was collected in mid-September, when the Delta wave was near its peak. Here's the New York Times trying to make excuses for Biden. Since then, cases and hospitalizations have fallen in much of the country. More timely data from private sector sources suggests economic activity has begun to rebound. If those trends continue, job growth could approach its pre-Delta pace later this fall. Oh, so we're not supposed to pay attention to these crappy economic numbers caused entirely by the Democratic Party and Joe Biden. We're supposed to hope for the future when things get better, except for here's the thing. Here's my prediction. There's going to be a wave of Delta. It's going to hit the Northeast. The reason it's going to hit the Northeast is it's about to get very cold in the Northeast. When people go indoors, you see increased numbers of cases, period. Now, a normal country would say to itself, okay, so there's more cases and not that many people are being hospitalized, not that many people are dying. But everybody is now aiming, because of Joe Biden, at zero COVID. The goal is zero COVID. So that means that people are still going to be in panic mode in the blue areas. That ain't stopping. We now have a psychological problem in the United States. COVID is two problems. It is a medical problem, which has been consistent since the beginning of the pandemic, and it's a psychological problem. This is a psychological problem at this point. Earlier this year, many economists and policymakers hoped September would be the month when the logjam began to abate as schools and offices reopened and expanded unemployment benefits ended. That easing has not happened. The resurgence of the pandemic delayed office reopenings and disrupted the start of the school year and made some people reluctant to accept jobs requiring face-to-face interaction. Again, the media are just going to continue to blame exogenous factors. It doesn't explain why those exogenous factors have not led to massive job decreases in red states. And the left likes to say this is a pandemic of the red states because it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Okay, well, this is an unemployment of the blue states. It's an unemployment of the blue states. If you look at the unemployment numbers by state from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, what you will see is here are the best states for unemployment in the United States. You ready? Nebraska, red. Utah, red. Idaho, red. South Dakota, red. New Hampshire, purple to red. Vermont is the only outlier. Alabama, red. Oklahoma, red. Georgia, red. Montana, red. North Dakota, red. Kansas, red. And then you get to Minnesota, outlier. Wisconsin, red. Missouri, red. Virginia, purple. Indiana, red. Iowa, red. Arkansas, red. South Carolina, red. Kentucky, red. North Carolina, red. Tennessee, red. Hey, then you go and you look at the worst states for unemployment. Nevada, blue. California, blue. New York, blue. New Mexico, blue. New Jersey, blue. Connecticut, blue. Illinois, blue. Hawaii, blue. District of Columbia, blue. Pennsylvania, purple. Alaska, red. Louisiana, purple. Okay, so you've noticed there's a pretty heavy political striation here. Why? Because this isn't about COVID and the Delta wave. It's about everything else. Not just that. People are not investing in the economy because we are now stuck. So Joe Biden has created a stagflation situation. High taxes, high regulation, high spending. And now the Federal Reserve is saying, guys, we've been trying to jog the economy and we can't keep doing this. It's creating inflation. And so now investors are like, well, before you were kind of giving us free money. Now you're not giving us free money. So maybe we're not going to use that free money to invest. According to the New York Times, a stingier Fed is not the market's only concern. Inflation, dismissed until recently by the Fed as a transitory artifact of the pandemic, is coming to be seen as more persistent as the prices of goods, services, and labor increase. What is being acknowledged as transitory, though, is the jolt to economic growth and corporate profits provided by several trillion bucks of added spending by Congress. Who knew? Who knew that if you created fake growth by throwing money at things, it wouldn't last? Who knew, except for everyone who has ever studied 1 ounce of economics? So, the Federal Reserve is going to have to draw back at the same time that Joe Biden has slowed the economy. Joe Biden's going to end up with a recession if he's not careful, which is amazing for a guy who was literally handed a vaccine, the cure to COVID, and somehow has blown it. This guy is the worst president of my lifetime, bar none. I mean, it is not close. He is way worse than Obama was. He's an incompetent buffoon who's convinced of his own moral rectitude. With all of that said, Joe Biden now needs an excuse. He needs an excuse for his failure. So, of course, his excuse is going to be COVID itself, right? And all the unvaxxed. That's the excuse. He's unwilling to take blame for his own crappy fiscal policy and his own crappy economic policy. And he's unwilling to take blame for the fact that whatever remnants there are of lockdowns, shutdowns, and overwrought worry are directly the result of his administration. And what we have right now in America with regard to COVID is a medical problem in the sense that some unvaccinated people are dying from COVID. And that problem has been the same since the beginning of the pandemic, that if you're unvaccinated, there is a good likelihood that you're going to end up with one of the variants. And then, depending on your age, there is some likelihood that you will be hospitalized and that you might die. It really depends on your age, a lot, as we'll get to when we talk about kids in a moment. Okay, so that is one problem. That problem has not changed over the course of the pandemic. What has changed is our circumstances. We now know that if you do not wish to die from this or be hospitalized, we have very good solutions for you. We have better therapeutics that are coming to market. We have the vaccines themselves, which are massively effective. But we have all of these solutions, which really means that the second problem of the pandemic is a psychological problem. And this is a problem that has set its roots unbelievably deep at this point. People are in pandemic mode and they cannot get out of pandemic mode. They cannot. And that has been driven by the left. That has been driven by Joe Biden. It's been driven by the media. The outsized panic at the actual real-world risk to individuals of COVID has been driven by the media, it's been driven by the Democrats, and now they can't get out of it. I've been talking with people routinely at schools, in government, about what sort of policy should be pursued. I mean, hell, members of my own family, about what policies should be pursued with regard to, for example, masking children in school. The data is pretty damned clear. The rates of death and hospitalization for children from COVID are extremely low. Very, very, very low. And we are talking about like lightning strike low. The number of kids in the United States who have died from COVID, according to the Centers for Disease Control, remains under 600 over the course of the entire pandemic, as compared with something like 900 kids over the course of the same period who have died of pneumonia. Thank God this is not a childhood disease. This is a disease that is heavily age striated. Children are safer from COVID unvaccinated than adults are from COVID after being vaccinated. That's how age-striated this particular disease is. And yet if you talk to people who are making school policies very often, they will say things that make no internal sense at all. They will say things that are not rooted in science. First, they will make the claim that kids need to be masked in school, even though there's very little evidence, let's put it that way, very little evidence that cloth masks in particular among children do anything to stop the spread of the virus. The viral load of COVID is about 100, somewhere between 1 and 300 times the viral load of the original variant, which means that cloth masks are really doing very little to stop the spread of COVID if the spread of COVID is happening in schools. Okay, and second, the risk to children, even if they get COVID, is extremely, extremely low. And yet you'll see school administrators say things like, well, we have to mask the kids. And you'll say, why do you have to mask the kids? And they'll say, well, because what if one of the kids in the class gets COVID? And then somebody else is nearby. And the answer is, well, then that kid either has COVID or does not have COVID. Are they symptomatic or are they not symptomatic? The mask isn't the deciding factor because Dr. Michael Osterholm of the Biden administration and multiple other doctors ranging from Robert Redfield to even Ezekiel Emanuel have talked about whether or not cloth masks are particularly effective against COVID. Okay, so the masks are not the deciding factor. And yet you'll hear people almost as sort of a talismanic saying suggest that if we don't mask kids, kids have to go home. And then you'll say, okay, but why do the kids have to go home? And they'll say, well, the kids have to go home because they might spread COVID. And you say, well, but the stats on spreading of COVID are really kind of the same, right? I mean, they haven't really changed dramatically over the course of the last month particularly. And not only that, if kids are asymptomatic, why should they be going home? We don't do this with literally any other disease. Diseases that are more deadly for kids, we don't do this for. If you're asymptomatic, we don't send you home, right? None of the policy makes any internal sense. But what is it driven by? It's driven by a back-of-the-mind suggestion that zero COVID is either a possibility or something that we should be pursuing. It is bad policy. It is not something that we should be pursuing, but it is something that Joe Biden has to pursue. So Joe Biden and the Democrats and the media are all heavily invested in the idea that COVID is not going to become endemic and sort of just become a background part of life that we all live with, and we take off our masks and we go back to work and sometimes we get COVID and nearly all of us live, and you know, just like every other disease that is in circulation and has been since the dawn of mankind. There is this assumption that is being made by the Democrats and by the media that COVID needs to be wiped out. And the reason that they are making that anti-scientific assumption is because the authoritarianism is the point. They want the control. The reason they want the control is because the suggestion of the control allows them to blame everyone else for their own failings. See, here's the thing. If you think that Joe Biden's fiscal policy is what is causing the economy to be slow, if you think that Joe Biden's COVID policies have been pretty ineffective, considering more people this year have died of COVID than died last year of COVID in the United States. I know they're not going to run that scrolling ticker on CNN because Joe Biden's president now. They did that last year. They don't do it anymore because Joe Biden is president. But if you don't think Joe Biden has done a particularly good job, Joe Biden needs an excuse. His excuse is going to be that the unvaccinated, that it's their fault that this continues. If everyone just did what Joe Biden said, if Joe Biden were king of the world for a moment, then all of your problems would go away. This is part and parcel of the overall overarching Democratic pitch, which is that government can solve all of your problems. Every problem in life can be solved by the federal government. It is a lie. It is untrue. But Joe Biden has to maintain it. And so that means he must stump for control. right? You look at him and you say, why would I give you more control given the fact that you failed at nearly everything you have touched? The way that Joe Biden sees it is precisely the opposite. Why don't you give me more control? Because everything that I have touched has failed because I haven't had more control. There's no way to falsify that thesis. Joe Biden knows it, which is why he's pushing it. We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, using the internet without ExpressVPN is like checking your baggage at the airport without a TSA lock. You think your stuff is kept private, but you never know who is going through your stuff. When you go online without a VPN, internet service providers can see every single website you visit. They can legally sell that information without your consent to ad companies and tech giants who then use your data to target you. When you use ExpressVPN, ISPs can't see your online activity. Your identity is anonymized by a secure VPN server. Your data is also encrypted for maximum protection. ExpressVPN is exceedingly easy to use. Just fire up the app and click one button. ExpressVPN works on all your devices, phones, laptops, even routers, so everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected. Secure your online activity today by visiting expressvpn.com/Ben today. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. You can get an extra 3 months for free. expressvpn.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. expressvpn.com/Ben for that extra 3 months for free. It's the VPN I trust to keep my online activity private and safe. expressvpn.com/Ben for that extra 3 months of coverage for free. Alrighty, coming up. So Joe Biden is a failure, but he has to have an excuse for why he's failing. It's probably because you won't give him more control, guys. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you can get both, why not? Especially when it comes to healthcare, and that's MediShare. You get both. The typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. It's because MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge PPO network, so yeah, really, you could save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. If you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. Here is the number you need. Call 844-53-BIBLE. That's 844-53-BIBLE. 844-53-BIBLE.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Joe Biden push here, right, which has a bleed down effect, is that everything is failing, not because of him, Everything is failing because you haven't given him enough control. And this is why he's pushing vaccine mandates. Again, the reality in most parts of the United States is that unless hospitals are being overwhelmed, and this is happening in some rural areas where you could talk about whether you need mask mandates to prevent the hospitals from being overwhelmed, right? That's what we did at the beginning of the pandemic. And if you're in a place with an actual shortage of medical care, it makes some sense. Okay, but other than that, vaccine mandates are unnecessary at this point. The reason they are unnecessary is because they are liberty violating, and because if you are vaccinated, you really don't have to fear the unvaccinated. Joe Biden's claim that the vaxxed should be living in fear of the unvaxxed is causing the economic downturn. It is affecting how the economy works. So he has to talk up the vaccine mandates. Now, here's the thing that's truly amazing. Joe Biden is trying to get the best of both worlds. So there are a lot of corporations that want the vaccine mandates. The reason a lot of corporations want the vaccine mandates is because they would prefer to not have their workers out sick from COVID. Right? They want people to come back into the office. The best way to get people back into the office, presumably, is to not have anybody get sick. So if we can force our workers to have a vaccine, then we will. But they also don't want the political and interior blowback of doing a vaccine mandate. So Joe Biden made it easier for these giant corporations to push vaccine mandates by saying he was going to do so via OSHA. Now, remember, he said a month ago, I think it's more than a month now, that he was going to be pushing vaccine mandates through the OSHA administrative body. He was going to mandate that every business above 100 people had to either vax or weekly test all of their employees. Remember this. Okay, now, here's the thing. Joe Biden never issued that regulation. There has been no regulation. Right? We got our legal team ready. We were ready to go to court. There's been no regulation. The reason there's been no regulation is because it was all bullcrap. Joe Biden simply said that so that corporations would do it and then blame him or credit him. And he wants the credit. So he's talking up vaccine mandates, not because they have been the deciding factor in how this pandemic goes. That is not true. Okay, the pandemic started to wane in Florida well before the vaccine mandates, well before Joe Biden said a damned word about it. The reason being, they've waned everywhere. This happened in the UK, right? We talked about this over the summer. The UK had a massive Delta spike, and then Delta stopped, and it kind of has gone away in the UK in terms of the number of cases. This is what happens everywhere. And by the way, it's going to happen in the Northeast, too, with all the vax mandates and all the lockdowns. Everybody already understands that when it gets cold outside, there's going to be a surge in the Northeast. This is a seasonal virus. It is seasonal because if you go inside and you breathe all over other people, you're going to get it. But this is not a matter of public health concern because the vaccines are available. So if you choose not to get vaccinated and you get sick, that's your problem. And if you choose to get vaccinated and you don't get sick, good for you. But Joe Biden wants vaccine mandates. Why? Because in the end, it underscores the suggestion that everything is under his control, except for you, right? You, the people who won't listen to him. This is your fault. So here is Joe Biden talking about vaccine mandates.
When you see headlines and reports of mass firings and hundreds of people losing their jobs, look at the bigger story. I've spoken with Scott Kirby, CEO of United Airlines, who's here today. United went from 59% of their employees to 99% of their employees in less than 2 months after implementing the requirement. 99%. And by the way, Scott, I want you to know I've instructed the Justice Department to make sure that we deal with the violence on aircraft coming from those people who are taking issues. We're going to deal with that.
Okay, so he's pushing these vaccine mandates hard, and then he says they're the most powerful economic stimulus in history, the vaccine mandates. If that's the case, then why is your economy slow, sir? Because you said this a month ago. I'm not seeing the economy jumping. Are you? Here's Joe Biden continuing along those lines.
Here's what Wall Street's saying. Goldman Sachs, quote, vaccinations will have a positive impact on employment. It means less spread of COVID-19, which will help people return to work. Moody's on Wall Street. Vaccination means fewer infections, hospitalizations, and death. In turn, it means a stronger economy. One economist called vaccine requirements, and I quote, the single most powerful, he didn't say single, the most powerful economic stimulus ever enacted, end of quote.
No. The most powerful economic stimulus ever enacted would be the government getting the hell out of your business and allowing you to live your life. That would be the most powerful stimulus ever. I speak as somebody who runs a company that employs over 200 people. You want to stimulate the economy, get the hell out of our way. But no, he has to be in our way because he has to justify his entire program. And if his program fails, the answer is always and forever more control. By the way, when he says that companies are going from 65% vaccinated to 99% vaccinated, okay, that may very well be true. One of the reasons that's true is because a bunch of people probably quit the company, American Airlines is having a problem right now. They vaccine mandated, and 30% of their pilots were like, nope. You're seeing this, you're seeing healthcare worker shortages in hospitals because the healthcare workers are like, I am concerned about this vaccine and I don't want to get it. It turns out that when you throw all the people who are unvaccinated off the company, your percentage of vaccinated goes up. Magic how that works. Beyond all of that, there is the liberty concern, and there is a liberty concern here. Again, I am pro-vaccination and anti-mandate. I'm pro-vaccination because I think they're effective, and I think that they are safe for the vast majority of people. And I'm anti-mandate because I still believe in fundamental First Amendment American liberty. And because I believe in that, so, by the way, that's the same liberty that undergirds actual economic growth. It is not a coincidence that the people who are for vaccine mandates are also generally in favor of government control of the economy. It is also not a coincidence the other way around. And we'll get to more of this in just one second, because there's something deeper going on here. And now they're trying to extend this to kids, which is really where this cold war with regard to vaccine mandates is going to heat up pretty dramatically. Alrighty, coming up, Joe Biden is talking up vaccine mandates, but they haven't actually issued a legal order at this point. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
All aboard! Haas Farms is now open, and it's family night fall fun for the whole family with a kids' roller coaster, go-karts and bumper cars, pony rides, little bug playland and petting zoo, zip lines and pumpkin cannons. Jump on the Haas Express Railroad train and cruise around the orchard. Family night is every Thursday with free general admission thanks to Sinorama. Haas Farms is now open for all the fall fun and food. Haas Kettle Corn, hot dogs, Moe's Pizza, plus beer and wine for the 21 and over. All haunted attractions are open every Friday and Saturday. The Field of Screams, the Sinister Workshop, and the Zombie Slayer Pinkball Excursions. Come blast some zombies on the Zombie Slayer rides. Special thanks to sponsors Above Board Construction and Roofing, Redding Heating and Air, Sinorama, Redding Harley Davidson, and Only One Benji. All tickets are being sold online this year, so for complete pricing and a schedule of events, get online to HawesFarms.com. That's HawesFarms.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought, and let me shatter your paradigm.
let's keep it 100. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but it ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only bout it, God can't bout it, nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
9132.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, hilariously enough, the Biden administration is pushing vaccine mandates. They've not actually issued one. The reason they're doing this is because they want all the credit for a vaccine mandate without any of the legal blame for having to put up a vaccine mandate likely to get shot down by the courts. The reason they're not actually pushing the actual in-the-law vaccine mandate is because there is a very good shot that if they did, they would dramatically undermine some of the key pillars of their own legal architecture. One of those key pillars is the idea that administrative agencies get to adjudicate their own cases, and that the courts basically have to allow administrative agencies to interpret statutes any way they want because they have the expertise. I think that if OSHA passed this regulation, and if the Daily Wire sued OSHA over that, I think that goes to the Supreme Court. I think there's every possibility that the Chevron doctrine, which is deference to administrative agencies, gets completely overturned. I think there are votes on the Supreme Court to do that. I think Biden knows that, which is why he's saying vaccine mandates are great. Also, I'm not issuing one. Here's the White House COVID-19 coordinator saying, oh, and these vax requirements, those have been the big game changer. They have not.
What we're seeing is that the early movers on vaccine requirements are having really strong results. Vaccine rates up 20-25% into 90%+ of people vaccinated. So vaccine requirements work. They're also good for the economy, and it gets people back into the workplace.
Okay, so this is the shtick. Right, is that if we tell you what to do, everything gets better. There's only one problem. A lot of people are not actually getting vaccinated. Right, the overall percentage of people who are getting vaccinated is indeed going up because their employers are forcing them to do so, so that's not a shock. But there's still a hardcore of people who are not going to get vaccinated. Democrats are struggling to explain why. And it's led to some sort of interesting takes. For example, this from New York Governor Kathy Hochul, who says that people are not getting vaccinated because they're afraid they're going to get murdered on the subway, which is a hell of a pitch for your state right here. You're so afraid of getting murdered on the subway, you won't get vaccinated. Good times in New York.
It can be emotional sometimes to think of what someone like that little boy had to think about as he was going to school. Is he going to be okay? Or an elderly person in Chinatown afraid to take the subway. I heard so many people say they're afraid to go get vaccines because they'd have to get on a subway and they're afraid of being assaulted in this very city. That is not the city of New York or the state of New York that we cherish.
Things are going so well in New York that not only are you not getting vaccinated, the reason, according to the governor, you're not getting vaccinated is because you're afraid a homeless person might push you in front of a train. Whew, things are going great over there. And so what is underlying a lot of this, truly, is a desperate attempt to shore up the expertise of the elite class. There's a really good book review by a guy named Scott Alexander, who used to be over at Slate Star Codex. He now runs a site called Astral Codex 10. He did a book review of a book by a guy named Martin Gurry called The Revolt of the Public. It is from 2014. And the thesis of the book is basically that the reason that you see so much populist disdain for the elites is because there was a promise that was made over the course of the 20th century that was a complete lie. And now the elites have a stake in perpetuating that lie. So here's Scott Alexander writing about that and writing about the thesis of this book. He says, our story begins in the early 20th century when governments, drunk on the power of industrialization, sought to remake society in their own image. This was the age of high modernism with all of its planned cities and collective farms and so on. Philosopher, bureaucrat, scientist, dictator, manager kings would lead the way to a new era of gleaming steel towers where society was managed with the same ease as a gardener pruning a hedgerow. Some principles of the system. Government management of the economy under the wise, infallible leadership of Alan Greenspan-style boffins, who could prevent recessions and resist animal spirits. Government sponsorship of science, under the wise, infallible leadership of Einstein-style geniuses who could journey to the Platonic realm and bring back new insights for the rest of us to gawk at. Government management of society, in the form of wars on poverty and wars on drugs, and an exciting new centralized form of public education that would make every child an above-average student. Homelessness getting cleared away by a wave of the city planner's pen, replaced by scientifically designed, heavily optimized, efficient public housing like Cabrini Green. Realistically, says Scott Alexander, this is all a sham. Alan Greenspan had no idea how to prevent recessions. Scientific progress was slowing down. Poverty remained as troubling as ever. 50% of public school students stubbornly stayed below average. But the media trusted the government, the people trusted the media, and failures got swept under the rug by a genteel agreement among friendly elites, while the occasional successes were trumpeted from the rooftops. However, this is the thesis of this book by Gurry. With the beginning of the internet at the turn of the 21st century, bloggers and social media influencers short-circuited the established hierarchy. America's crimes and failures in Vietnam had percolated slowly and inconsistently through word of mouth, with most people content to believe whatever sanitized version the nightly news told them. But when America had crimes and failures in Iraq, leaked photos of torture in Abu Ghraib spread instantly across the internet. There was no opportunity for elites in government or media to come to an agreement on how much of it they were going to share or what the narrative should be. The scientific equivalent, Gurry argues, was ClimateGate, where hackers leaked out the emails of top climate scientists and everyone got to see exactly how the sausage got made and decide for themselves whether they trusted it or not. Then there was the 2008 market crash. For the first time, people were able to go on Facebook and the comment sections of their favorite blogs and talk about how everyone involved in financing government was a crook who needed to be hung from a lamppost. The discussion had a momentum of its own. People who wouldn't have dared think a heretical thought if they'd been listening to Walter Cronkite found themselves adding to the avalanche. In Gurry's telling, high modernism had always been a failure, but the government media academy elite axis had been strong enough to conceal it from the public. Starting in the early 2000s, that axis broke down. People could have lowered their expectations, but in the real world, that wasn't how things went. Instead of losing faith in the power of government to work miracles, people believed government could and should be working miracles, and that the specific people in power at the time were too corrupt and stupid to press the cause miracle button, which they definitely had, and which definitely would have worked. And so the outrage, protest, kick those losers out of power, replace them with anybody who had the common decency to press the miracle button. Okay, this is a very good thesis. And it is also extraordinarily explanatory of what is going on right now. Joe Biden says, I would press the cause miracle button, except that those damned unvaxxed Republicans refuse to allow me to press the cause miracle button. If you just gave me more power on the economy, I would hit the cause miracle button. But Mitch McConnell and those damned Republicans won't get out of my way and allow me to hit the cause miracle button. And this is a bipartisan problem. No matter who is in power, they always have the excuse for their own failures of saying the other guys are preventing me from doing X. This is Scott Alexander's thesis now, and he's correct. Okay, in order to uphold the main thesis of high modernism, which is that the government can fix all your problems, you have to blame somebody for why it's not getting fixed once you have the power. And the answer there is, we need more control of those bad guys. Those bad guys stand between you and utopia. And this is leading to some pretty grave results. Okay, and it's leading some particular, this sort of arrogance leads to serious problems because it is not in keeping with reality. And even some journalists who tend to be, you know, pretty strict on COVID are noticing this. So David Leonhardt has a good piece of the New York Times today. It is titled, The COVID Fable. When we treat COVID as a simple morality play, we can end up making bad predictions. He says, in the final weeks of the summer, with COVID-19 cases soaring and the rituals of autumn about to resume, many people assumed the pandemic was on the verge of getting even worse. Children were returning to classrooms 5 days a week. Broadway was reopening, movie fans were heading to theaters again. Given all this and the Delta variant, public discussion had a decidedly grim tone as the summer wound down. It may only get worse, read a political headline. The new school year is already a disaster, Business Insider reported. The Washington Post cited an estimate that daily caseloads in the U.S. could reach 300,000 in August, higher than ever before. In the New York Times, an epidemiologist predicted that cases would rise in September because kids were going back to school. And what actually happened? Cases plunged. The best measure of U.S. cases peaked around 166,000 on September 1, the very day that seemed to augur a new surge. The number of new daily hospital cases has fallen almost 40%. Hospitalizations are down 30%. Deaths have declined 13% since September 20th. So what exactly happened here? What happened here is that people, says David Leonhardt, are attracted to morality tales in which there are good people and bad people, and politicians take advantage of this. In the case of COVID, says Leonhardt, the fable we tell ourselves is that our day-to-day behavior dictates the course of the pandemic. When we are good, by staying socially distant and wearing masks, cases are supposed to fall. When we are bad, by eating in restaurants, hanging out with friends, going to a theater or a football game, cases are supposed to rise. The idea is especially alluring to anybody making an effort to be careful and feeling frustrated that so many Americans seem blasé. After all, the COVID fable does have some truth to it. Social distancing and masking do reduce the spread of the virus. They just are not as powerful as people often imagine. Correct. In the coming weeks and months, says Leonhardt, it's possible the virus will surge again, maybe because of a new variant or because vaccine immunity will wane. It's also possible the population has built up enough immunity from both vaccines and prior infection that Delta will have been the last major wave. We don't know. We don't have to pretend otherwise. We don't have to treat COVID as a facile referendum on virtue. But here's the thing. Politicians do. They do, because they have to explain why they are failing at their jobs. And the answer to why am I failing at my job is not because my policies are bad, like Joe Biden's are. The answer to why am I failing at my job is because you are bad, because my opponents are bad, because if you gave me more control, I would solve all of your problems. Okay, when the rubber is really going to hit the road is when it comes to kids. Because it is one thing for Joe Biden to say, I want vaccine mandates for all of the employed in the United States. The reason that that is not particularly risky for Joe Biden is because a huge percentage of Americans have already gotten the vaccine. If you're above the age of 20, you're much more likely than not to have gotten the vaccine in the United States. If you're above the age of 40 in the United States, you're way, way more likely to have gotten the vaccine than not in the United States. So what that means is that there's not a lot of political blowback to things like vaccine mandates in practical terms, because if you've already got the vaccine, most people who've already gotten the vaccine, maybe they don't like mandates, but they don't care enough about it to make a big fuss about it because they've already been vaccinated, so it doesn't affect them. Joe Biden knows this, but here's where the rubber meets the road for Joe Biden. That is when it comes to kids. And when you have people who are mandating that 14-year-olds take COVID vaccines, and now when you have a new push to get 7-year-olds vaccinated, there are going to be a lot of parents and a lot of people in the United States who say, no, you do not get to make that decision for me. That is not something I'm going to allow you to do, because frankly, the evidence is not good enough that the vaccines are significantly less dangerous than COVID for a kid who is 7. We'll get to that in just a moment, because this is, if Joe Biden makes us a hard push, if the left makes a hard push on kids must be vaccinated before we can all get back to normal, if this is their final sort of the intransigents are not just those terrible unvaxxed Trump supporters, the intransigent are children, the blowback is going to be severe, and they're walking right into it because they have to, you understand. They have to blame everybody else, because that's the only way they can maintain the veneer and the illusion that their power is insufficient rather than far too sufficient. Alrighty, so coming up, when it comes to vaccine mandates, Joe Biden is in safe political space talking about vaccine mandates for adults. Most adults in the United States have been vaccinated. When it gets to kids, things get very dicey for him. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention business owners, listen carefully to this important message. Are you tired of struggling with monthly bookkeeping or always being behind? Maybe you're fed up with paying your CPA ridiculously high hourly rates for subpar services. At FinancePal, we know your pain. We're small business owners who understand your tax and accounting needs. At FinancePal, we take over your books and design a program custom tailored to fit your needs. Whether it's bookkeeping, payroll, bill pay, inventory tracking, or taxes, we have you covered. We handle some or all of these services for one flat, affordable, low monthly fee. Stop worrying about your books and drowning in paperwork. Let us worry while you focus on growing your business. The setup is easy, and we give you the tools and technology to make your monthly finances streamlined and organized. Call now at 800-509-1325 for a free business assessment. That's 800-509-1325. 800-509-1325. Finance Pal, the only friend your business needs.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
right now. People are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So where the rubber really is going to meet the road when it comes to the authoritarian push by this administration is when it comes to kids. So Pfizer is now asking for FDA clearance to give its vaccines to 5 to 11-year-olds. Now, listen, that's their prerogative. They can ask the United States to allow COVID vaccines for 5 to 11-year-olds. But whenever the FDA does this sort of stuff, the next push from the left is let's mandate it. Right? That's not because of Pfizer. That's because of the federal government. Now, I'm sure Pfizer would love it, right? I mean, their stocks go up if somebody gets mandated to take the vaccine in order to go to school, and Pfizer is the only FDA-cleared product at that point. According to the Huffington Post, Pfizer asked the U.S. government Thursday to allow its use of COVID-19 vaccine in children aged 5 to 11. If regulators agree, shots could begin within a matter of weeks. Many parents and pediatricians are clamoring for protection for children younger than 12. Yeah, who? Today's age cutoff for the vaccine made by Pfizer and its German partner, BioNTech. Not only can youngsters sometimes get seriously ill, but keeping them in school can be a challenge with the COVID still raging in poorly vaccinated communities. I love that sentence. Not only can youngsters sometimes get seriously ill. Can we put a number on sometimes? It turns out we can. And the number is really, really, really damn low. Sometimes. It turns out people sometimes get hit by lightning. We should all walk around wearing wooden suits of armor to prevent this sort of thing. But keeping them in school can be a challenge. With COVID still raging, why is keeping them in school a challenge? Why? Just keep them in school. Okay, and if they come down symptomatic, then they get to go home. Otherwise, if they're asymptomatic, don't send them home. Like, these policies are so dumb in schools. They're unbelievably stupid. By the way, the policy in the UK is what I'm talking about. No masks, and you don't go home unless you're symptomatic. Period. End of story. It is incredibly stupid. Instead, we're taking entire classrooms of kids who are completely asymptomatic out of school to prevent them from transmitting a virus that is largely safe for children. To other children. And then the excuse that's used ranges from, well, they might go home and they might give it to an adult. Okay, fine. The adult should have been vaccinated. That's the adult's problem. Two, well, you know, we got to keep the kids in school. Okay, that's completely circular. So you're saying we have to take kids out of school to keep kids in school. No, you don't have to do any of that. But this is going to underscore a new push to vaccinate the very, very young. Now, there are a few problems with this. One, Scandinavia, the entire area of Scandinavia, just curbed the use of Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine in young people. Sweden suspended the use of Moderna for all recipients under 30. Okay, not for kids under 18, for everybody under the age of 30. Denmark said a serious adverse event from the vaccine over the risk of COVID, because the risk of COVID for people under 30 is not particularly grave in relative terms. All three countries based their decision on an unpublished study with Sweden's public health agency, saying it signals an increased risk of side effects, such as inflammation of the heart muscle or the pericardium. It added the risk of being affected is very small. However, if the risk of being affected is very small, it may still be larger than the risk of getting seriously ill from COVID if you're young. That's the whole point. If you're 65, the risk of getting myocarditis or something is probably well below your risk of dying from COVID. If you're 12, that ain't the case. Anders Tegnell, Sweden's chief epidemiologist, said, quote, they are following the situation closely and acting quickly to ensure vaccinations against COVID-19 are always as safe as possible and at the same time provide effective protection against the disease. In July, the European Medicines Agency recommended authorizing Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine for kids aged 12 to 17. Canada also recently approved its use for those as young as 12. Hundreds of millions of Moderna doses have already been administered to adults, In a study of more than 3,700 children aged 12 to 17, the vaccine triggered the same signs of immune protection. No COVID-19 diagnoses arose in the vaccinated group compared with four cases among those given dummy shots. Okay, look at that. That's unbelievable. First of all, we're doing this to prevent four cases. 3,700 kids. It presumably split into two groups. So that would have been, you know, essentially 1,850 kids per group. In one group, zero kids got COVID because they're vaccinated. In the other group, four kids got COVID, unvaccinated. So what risk, and how many of those kids were hospitalized or died? Presumably zero. Okay, this is, if you are going to attempt to cram down vaccines on children, if that's the next step here, the blowback is going to be extreme and extraordinary, and it should be. I have kids who are 7, 5, and a year and a half. I am not vaccinating those kids for COVID, not based on the current risk assessment. That is not going to happen. The reason that is not going to happen, there is no longitudinal data on these kids. None. The sample size of the studies is small. You know, MMR, the MMR vaccine, which is now mandatory, which I support being mandatory for kids. MMR was tested for 12 years before it was rolled out as a mandatory vaccine in schools, between 63 and 75. Now you're talking about a vaccine that has been tested on like a few kids over the course of a summer, and you're telling me that I'm supposed to vaccinate my 5-year-old who is at almost zero risk of death, like zero risk. Statistically, it is so close to zero, it is infinitesimal. And I'm supposed to vaccinate my 7 and 5-year-old? Why? Because you guys are paranoid about COVID? All my kids' cousins have had COVID. All of them are fine. Nearly all were asymptomatic. Hey, Scott Gottlieb over at the FDA, he says it's still possible these vaccines will be available for kids by Halloween. Well, whoop-de-doo.
The CEO of Pfizer, the company you served on the board of, affirmed today that that data on vaccinations for 5 to 11-year-olds will be going to the FDA within a matter of days. Is that confirming your schedule of vaccines by Halloween?
Yeah, I think that's still possible. FDA has said that the review is going to be a matter of weeks, not months. I interpret that to mean potentially a 4-week review, maybe a 6-week review. So I think on the low end, it could take 4 weeks, and that could give you a vaccine by Halloween. If it slips a little, it could be mid-November.
Okay, so if this turns into, let's mandate this stuff for kids to go to school. They've already done this in California with kids above the age of 12, which is really dicey, especially because there are a lot of medical experts, including Marty McCary at Johns Hopkins, who say, what does it mean to get vaccinated? I mean, one of the things they've been considering is maybe we should give kids a single shot, because it turns out it's the second shot that is very often causing the sort of heart inflammation that you're seeing in these side effect cases. So what about one shot? Are those kids still barred from school? Let's say they extend this all the way down to 5-year-olds. How many people do you think are going to do this? And how many shots is it going to take? Even the tests that we are using to determine whether kids are going to need another shot are completely flawed. So, for example, the data show that the Pfizer vaccine, after a couple of months, this is according to CNN, the Pfizer vaccine, the antibody levels from Pfizer drop off dramatically. Now, here's the thing. What that means is that you can still get a breakthrough case. I know tons of people at this point who have gotten breakthrough cases after having Pfizer, Moderna, or any of the others. Okay, but these vaccines are still very effective against hospitalization and death, right, which is what you actually care about. Now, the way that you are measuring whether somebody can re-enter society and be left alone, according to the left, is antibody levels. But antibody levels are not determinant as to whether your body fights off an infection. Antibodies appear after the infection sets in, generally speaking. That is why your body produces antibodies in response to both the vaccine as well as to the actual disease. But then the antibodies tend to wane, but you still have T-cell and B-cell memory, which is how you actually fight off infection. Your body still remembers how to fight off the infection, but we don't have great tests for that, which is why you still have all these idiots out there saying that natural immunity, unless you have antibodies in your system, natural immunity is useless. That's nonsense. It's not science. It is anti-science. So how are you even going to determine how many shots these kids need? If you're measuring by antibody levels, presumably you need a shot like every 5 minutes. But you shouldn't be measuring by antibody levels, because we already know that once you've been infected with COVID, your chances of hospitalization and death are low. We already know that once you've been vaccinated, your chance of hospitalization and death is low. But we're not measuring your chances of hospitalization and death. No one cares about the only stat that matters, hospitalization and death. No one cares. Instead, they're focusing in on measures that allow the panic to be prolonged. The panic must be prolonged, because the longer the panic lasts, the more your government coddies can tell you that they ought to have more control over you, that they have to control the science, even though they are not actually following the science. Their current medical guidance does not make any internal sense. It makes no internal sense. You still have the CDC making the case that everybody, including the vaccinated, should mask up in close indoor spaces, but also saying that if you are wearing a cloth mask within 5 feet of somebody who has COVID and that person tests positive, You don't have to go home from school. Explain that one. And there's no internal logic to any of this. It has now become a matter of faith. And the faith is not in God. The faith is not in science. The faith is in your administrative government leadership to fix all of your problems. And if there is a continued problem, that's obviously because you did not perform the self-flagellating rituals expected by you, of you, by the experts. If only you had flagellated yourself harder. If only you'd worn four masks. If only you'd been in, if you had voted for Joe Biden, if only you had done all of these things, everything would have been fine. By the way, there were indicators that this was the paganistic way we were going to approach COVID last year. When we were told that you were not protected from COVID if you protested lockdown, but you were most certainly protected from COVID if you were spitting all over each other for George Floyd. This is purely political. It has nothing to do with the actual science. It has to do with maintaining the veneer that the elites actually have the capacity, the great priest-like capacity, to control the great gods of COVID so long as you make the sacrifice and your kids make the sacrifice. And it's nonsense. And the lockdown is getting worse. Okay, it's not getting better. When I say the lockdown, I mean the informational lockdown. They must maintain control at all costs. Because once the myth implodes that these people actually are capable of fixing the problem, you have no reason to give them power anymore. And they know it. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. A federal court reinstated Texas's pro-life law tonight, just one day after a federal judge blocked the measure which bans abortions after a fetal heartbeat can be detected. On Wednesday, U.S. District Judge Robert Pittman, an appointee of President Barack Obama, issued an order suspending the Texas law, but the New Orleans-based appeals court quickly granted Texas's request to set aside Pittman's order for now while the case is being reviewed. It ordered the Justice Department to respond by Tuesday. The prospect of another Trump bid for the White House is raising concerns for Democrats.
Here's Mr. Trump will again make a bid for the White House are starting to be felt among key Democrats. Mike Morley, a strategist who served as an aide to Majority Leader Charles Schumer, says of the former president, quote, "No one should underestimate his ability to energize the base, and Democrats would be foolish to think he would be easy to take down." Amid falling poll numbers for President Biden, there's good news for Mr. Trump in the recent Harvard Caps Harris poll survey out last month. It showed 58% of the GOP voters surveyed would want Mr. Trump to be the Republican nominee in 2024. Bob Agnew reporting.
A new poll shows Americans agree that misinformation is a problem. Correspondent Mike Kempen reports.
95% of Americans have identified misinformation as a problem when they're trying to access important information. A new poll from the Pearson Institute and the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research reveals about half blame the U.S. government, while three-quarters point to social media users and tech companies. 53% say they're not concerned that they have spread misinformation, but about 6 in 10 are at least somewhat concerned that their friends or family members have been part of the problem. Mike Hemp in Washington.
On Wall Street, the Dow down by 8 points, the Nasdaq dropped 74. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son, founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
With a Democratic sweep officially in place, we are now at the mercy of tax and spend economics. Get ready for runaway national debt pushing the further devaluation of the dollar. So if you haven't invested in gold, now is the time to protect your savings. Birch Gold Group is the premier precious metals IRA company in America. With an A+ BBB rating and thousands of satisfied customers, Birch Gold can help you move an eligible IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by gold. Go to birchgold.com/radio for your free information kit. That's birchgold.com/radio.
Media groups have welcomed the 2021 Nobel Peace Prize for journalists who have battled to confront misinformation globally.
Human rights activists and many others have enthusiastically welcomed the awarding of this year's prize to journalists Maria Ressa of the Philippines and Dmitry Muratov of Russia at a time when media groups around the world face new pressures and crackdowns from the authorities. Another new threat is the rise of misinformation, even in established democracies. The Committee to Protect Journalists journalist says Reza and Muratov are under personal threat and continuously defy censorship and repression to report the news, leading the way for others to do the same. Charles de Ledesma, London.
The NFL is accusing Dallas Cowboys offensive lineman Lael Collins of trying to bribe a drug testing official before the player was suspended 5 games for a violation of the substance abuse policy. News and analysis at townhall.com. Germany's foreign minister is the latest European Union representative to express concern about a Polish constitutional court ruling that Poland's national law trumps EU law.
Mr. Morawiecki said Poland's entry to the EU in 2004 was one of the highlights of recent decades. He said Poland's place is and will be in the European family of nations. However, his challenge to the bloc's legal order has raised the stakes in his government's ongoing dispute with Brussels. Ministers from France and Germany say Poland must follow the EU's rules. But Mr. Morawiecki insists the EU is overstepping its powers and has no right to criticize Poland for the way it organizes its judiciary.
BBC correspondent Adam Easton reporting from Warsaw, Poland. Tata Sons, India's oldest and largest conglomerate, will be the new owner of the country's debt-laden national carrier, Air India. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%. And as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Brand new jobs report, a look at the state of the economy. Chief business correspondent Christine Romans with the new details. What does it say?
All right, let me just run through the top line numbers for you here, John, because it's a real brain teaser. 194,000 net new jobs added, way less than anybody expected, and less than last month and the worst of the year.
Well, at least Joe Biden doesn't care. Yesterday he was mocking the many, how many is it? Tens of thousands, certainly, of jobs eliminated because of vaccine mandates. He said maybe hundreds. And that United Airlines is better for it. Because now almost their whole workforce is vaccinated. Because they fired everybody who's not. Sieg Heil, meine Schatzi. Hey, the socialists are in town. Everything's just going great. I saw this morning that it was going to be great news on the jobs. I guess not, huh? Once the news came out, it's a little different. And that's CNN. They sounded like they were, hey, wait a minute. Jobs? Oh, who needs jobs? Democrats all have jobs. Hunter Biden's got a job. He's an artist. He's Picasso. You know him. Is the greatest living artist of the 21st century, at least so far. You know, the what was it? My friend Vince Colonnese yesterday said he referred to it as Hunter Biden's refrigerator art. Which is exactly right. That's precisely what it is. You got a crackhead blowing paint through a straw and on construction paper. And it is the kind of art that normally would be pinned to the refrigerator with a magnet. And he's selling it for $500,000 or whatever. And having big art shows. People show up, they wear scarves. Ascots, really. More ascots. Cigarette holders, but with no cigarettes in them. Because, you know, that's the thing. Pretty amazing. Yeah, so very bad, very, very bad job numbers for the United States of America and for Joe Biden because he's a terrible president, I think, is the reason. And their economic policies are disastrous, and their border policies are disastrous. Their withdrawal from Afghanistan, disastrous. He was going to unite the country and bring the country together. Remember that? If that were actually an effort that they had undertaken, and they have not, then that, too, would be a disastrous undertaking. But fortunately, they just never even tried. So they are a disaster. This president is a complete disaster. Even CNBC, the New York Times, everybody, today's job numbers, September jobs report badly misses expectations, with payroll increasing by just 194,000. You know, it was last month. I remember it like it was just last week. Last month they came out, they said they're going to have 700,000 plus new jobs, and last month there was 235,000. But they told us, the experts, because they're experts, you know, they told us that the experts that it was going to be 700,000 new jobs, and instead it was 235,000 new jobs. Very, very badly missing the mark. We are, of course, at 888-630-9625, which is a much longer number than the number of new jobs that the Biden administration is creating. And they come out and they tell us they've created record numbers of new jobs because they lie all the time about everything. So we've got that. Hey, heck of a job, Biden, heck of a job. Just amazing. So they like to say non-farm payrolls rose by just 194,000 in the month, compared to the Dow Jones estimate of 500,000. So not even half, the Labor Department reported on Friday. The unemployment rate fell to 4.8%. I don't think that really is an honest assessment, and I'm going to go ahead and bet. I'm going to bet $1, as I often do, that they will revise and adjust that number, and it won't be in Joe Biden's favor, because there's no way with those bad numbers this month that they said it was going to fall to 5.1%, and it fell to 4.9%, even though it didn't come close to meeting even half of expectations. So that's fishy. That doesn't make a lot of sense. And unfortunately, we have very good reason to have no faith whatsoever in our public institutions, certainly run by Joe Biden, and his Labor Department is going to be as corrupt as his Justice Department and his Department of Homeland Security. Speaking of targeting parents as domestic terrorists, which is what the corrupt Justice Department is doing under the corrupt Biden administration, just extraordinary. I mean, there's just no, I'm sorry to say it, there's a little bit of good news. I have some good news. There is a headline at Yahoo, Biden's plummeting presidency. And that sums it up pretty well. Incompetent Biden crashes to 38% approval in brutal Quinnipiac poll. The news media has moved on. I'm not sure the Washington Post even reported the new Q poll. But CNN was very excited today. They said they took a look at some other polls that weren't very recent, and they created an average. And it was really better than 38%. Gosh, it was, 44% or something. But that's because they counted older polls where he was doing better as he continues to spiral into the ground. This presidency is spiraling into the ground as well. And Joe Biden is a nitwit. He's a dimwit. He's a numbskull. His brain doesn't work. She's a broke. And that's a big part of the problem. And then, of course, the party itself is anti-American, anti-capitalist, anti-border control. They're for open borders. They're pro-gang, pro-cartel, pro-MS-13, all the child rapists they're grabbing at the border and all this stuff. No big deal, though. So we've got that. We got that going for us. And that is the latest in the big news of the day. 194,000 jobs predicting 500,000. Hey, I guess that's better than last month when they were predicting 700,000 and got 235,000 only. And Joe Biden went to Chicago yesterday. He is not a bright man. And he said some really incredibly dumb stuff. He introduced the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, who is, just for the record, a woman. You know, sometimes Democrat men call themselves Lori as well.
But she's a Democrat, and she's Baby Groot. She's Baby Groot. She's a little like a troll under a bridge. And she's a woman, and he called her he called her Mr. Mayor. He called her Mr. Mayor. So Joe Biden getting the job done again.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Mr. Mayor, thanks for the passport into town.
Yeah, she is the passport.
I tell you, every time I come to the greater Chicago area, there's somebody I want to steal and bring back to Washington, Gov. I've done it a couple times, you know.
Gov. Gov. Who's he? He's calling somebody Gov now, and he's stealing. What is he, like, pretending he brought Barack Obama to Washington or something? And he's got his passport. What is that, because of the vaccines? He's got his vaccine passport with him. You may remember just a year ago he said he was utterly opposed to vaccine mandates and to mask mandates. He was in Chicago yesterday promoting exactly that. Well, vaccine mandate anyway. And he was bragging that, well, hundreds of jobs have been lost. Hundreds? More like tens of thousands. But he says hundreds. Democrats doing math. You know how that is. But he introduced Baby Groot as Mr. Mayor. She's a woman. And by the way, she's on the LGBTQQIAA plus ampersand pound sign spectrum. That is to say that she's a lesbian woman. And he called her Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor. She's standing right there. She is clearly and obviously a female person. And maybe, I don't, maybe she told him something. Maybe she's changed. Maybe those are her pronouns. And Mr. Mayor. Maybe that's because the Democrats, they're very fluid when it comes to this sort of stuff. So there, yeah, Joe Biden in the greater Chicagoland metropolitan area, just getting everything wrong. And he is a man who is dim of wit. That is to be sure. That's to be generous. Yeah, Mr. Mayor, there it is, to a lesbian woman in a pantsuit. Okay, good thing. This is another one of those it's good to be a Republican situations, it's good to be a Democrat matters, and also, you know, the media, the most insidious power the media has is the power to ignore. And when Joe Biden trips all over himself and does things that any Republican would be crucified for, the media does him the service of just ignoring it, because they know that if they started calling him on this, that it would be an all-day, everyday affair. And Mr. Mayor, there it is. I think from now on we're going to have to call Lori Lightfoot Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor. When we're talking about Chicago, then Mr. Mayor came out. Because Joe Biden, and he didn't catch himself. It's not like he stumbled and he caught himself. And it's, you see him in front of the fake White House backdrop, the TV set they have in the Eisenhower Executive Office building. He was talking at America, and he had a big piece of food on his lip. Did you see that piece of food on his lip the other day? And nobody passed him a note like the last time saying, Mr. President, you have something on your chin. You have something on your chin. That kind of defines his presidency. You have something, there's something on your chin. What it is, we don't want to get into. There it is. So that's just scratching the surface on some of what we have today. We've also got the parents are terrorists because the Democrat Party is pretty fascist. It's a pretty fascist party. And, you know, they unleashed the corrupt FBI under J. Edgar Comey and the corrupt CIA under penitentiary Faye Brennan. They unleashed the power of the intelligence community and federal law enforcement on President Trump and his allies. They altered documents. They lied to the FISA courts. They got illegal warrants to spy on their political enemies. And the American news media just shrugged that off, shrugged it off. No big deal. That's not a thing. It's like, you know, there was one melee on Capitol Hill on January 6th for about 2 hours. One woman was shot and killed while unarmed by a police officer. She was a 14-year Air Force vet. And the news media loved it. They're entirely in front. Finally, a fatal shooting of a woman while unarmed that the media could get behind. And they've completely wiped their slate clean on days of riots at the White House and the hundreds of riots from coast to coast. But I digress. So now they've unleashed the FBI on parents who go to school board meetings who aren't happy with hardcore radical left-wing curricula. That's for Democrats, that's the plural of curriculum. And so I've got a bunch of stuff for you on that today as well. The GOP senators pushed back on DOJ policing the speech of citizens in letter to Merrick Garland. And interesting, Merrick Garland on the federal law enforcement. Muscle should never be used against protesting parents. No, no muscle, just like tasers, maybe snipers, something like that. What is this? Just arrest them all, round them up. This is the stuff of the third world. Illegal warrants to spy on your political enemies, altering documents from the CIA to the FBI, lying, of course, to Congress and the American people, targeting your political enemies, jailing political enemies. It is Lieutenant Colonel, Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller being thrown in solitary confinement for criticizing the leadership in the United States military. He, a 17-year veteran, five times deployed, thrown into solitary confinement with no access to telephones, no visitors. And this is the stuff of the third world. And, of course, targeting parents for going to school board meetings and raising their voices. How dare they? Again, 3 days of riots at the White House, 110 federal officers injured, St. John's Church set on fire. Orchestrated, organized efforts bringing in and pre-positioning piles of bricks and rocks and frozen water bottles, fireworks being thrown at them, and all this stuff. And where's the FBI investigation into that? Where's the DOJ being mobilized for that? As opposed to parents raising their voices at school board meetings. Just amazing. Amazing stuff. So we've got good stuff for you on that. And Virginia. You know, look out, Virginia. It's not too late. The race in Virginia, the governor's race. Now, this is another thing that we've done. That, you know, voting is, what is it, 6 weeks long in Virginia for the governor. Remember Election Day? How did we ever muddle through for 2.5 centuries with something as quaint and antiquated as Election Day? And, of course, now it's easier than ever for people to vote. And to get to your polling place on Election Day. And you can even have, if it's Tuesday, have weekend voting and Monday voting or something. But no, 6 weeks of voting. Yesterday I went and the actual Election Day, we don't have Election Day anymore because it's too difficult for Democrats. And, you shouldn't have to show an ID to vote. You got to show an ID to walk into restaurants now. Can't get on an airplane. You can't get into a restaurant. You got to show your vaccine passport to go here and there and all this crazy stuff, including getting into restaurants. But God knows you shouldn't have to show an ID to vote. Well, I want to talk about this Virginia election a little bit. A couple of headlines I want to get to. Virginia Senate passes bill repealing witness signature requirements for absentee ballots. Virginia Democrats fast-track absentee voting changes over Republican opposition. Judge rules Virginia's late election law changes for mail-in ballots were illegal. But fear not, there's a lot more. Then, of course, we've got Mick Offel. Oh, and I've also got the Republican nominee, Greg Youngkin. He was on the television. Television last night. And he said a couple of pretty good things. I've got that for you, too. And lots of other stuff as well.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Everyone's dream is different. Build wealth for whatever matters to you with GetInvestmentAdvice.com. Whether you want to buy your dream home, give your child a great education, save for retirement, become your own boss, or take the vacation of a lifetime, GetInvestmentAdvice.com works hard to help you reach your goals. Their innovative investment and financial solutions can help you manage your money to build a better future for you and your family. Visit GetInvestmentAdvice.com to get started today. That's GetInvestmentAdvice.com. Paid for by IP Financial Advisory Services, LLC.
Today on Hey Culligan, Smart Home, Smarter Water Softener. Here's Kevin.
Hey Culligan, can a smart water softener lift those heavy salt bags for me?
Kevin, it can.
Wait, it can?
Yep, the smart, high-efficiency water softener from Culligan can alert your dealer when the salt needs to be replaced, and they'll do it for you, so your water stays soft, and you stay away from lifting the bags.
I mean, I could lift them if I wanted.
No judgment here, Kevin. We're happy to do it, and we're already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with the local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
Napa know-how.
At Napa, buy a 5-quart jug of Mobil 1 motor oil and save $10 on a pair of wiper blades. It's the perfect autumn deal. Mobil 1 for colder weather, new wipers for the rain, and an extra $10 to buy Halloween candy you'll most likely eat yourself. We're not judging. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating locations, does not include taxes and fees. Advertised sale price not available in some states. Ends 10/31/21.
Okay, my shipments have to get to customers on time and looking good.
It's possible with Staples Connect. Staples Connect has small business shipping covered with premium shipping supplies and UPS shipping services. And now, buy two, get one free on select shipping supplies like Bubble Roll and Avery Labels. Plus, get 20% off UPS Express shipping services. Explore what's new at your local Staples store or staplesconnect.com. Staples Connect, the working and learning store. Ends 10/30. Visit staplesconnect.com/shipping for details.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Maybe this is you too. A lot of people do not like their health plan right now, and they're worried they're stuck with it. One that costs too much or doesn't meet their needs, or for whatever reason, they're just not happy with it. If that is you, some great news. There really is another choice. It's called MediShare, and it's such a great option, especially if you're self-employed, changing jobs, or part of the gig economy. Here's what you get when you switch to MediShare. First, huge savings. The typical family saves $500 a month. You also get a massive doctor network, or you can just use the doctor of your choice, or MediShare's free 24/7 telehealth option. And you get to be part of something you can believe in. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. No wonder MediShare gets double the customer satisfaction ratings compared with typical health insurance. So no, you are not stuck. You've got a great alternative. Call now. 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Okay. And I say those job numbers took me by surprise. I didn't see that coming. That opening audio. And isn't it amazing? They expected 500,000 jobs, and they said the unemployment rate would be adjusted downward to 5.1. And instead, you get fewer than half that in the new jobs. And they lowered the unemployment rate to 4.8%. Which doesn't compute, it doesn't make any sense at all, and it stinks, as a matter of fact. It's fishy. I don't buy it. There's something wrong with it. All right, let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Arch, calling from Leesburg, Virginia. Arch, you're on the Chris Plant Show. Archibald?
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I want to say, to make two comments. One is, I think we owe a thank you to Senator McConnell, whom I often disagree with, for keeping Merrick Garland's nomination out of consideration.
For the Supreme Court.
For the Supreme Court, yes.
Yep.
What a terrible thing would have happened.
Yeah, we dodged a bullet there.
Yes, and the second point I'd like to make is that every administrator on the school board or in the state takes an oath to support the Constitution, and the Constitution has a long series of cases going all the way back to 1928 in which they said there is a fundamental right for every parent to direct the upbringing of its child, that the child is not the creature of the state. And I have yet to hear anybody, the officials, for trying to, citing their illegality, or perhaps ignorance of what the Constitution really says.
Well, that is a fascinating point, Arch, and I'm going to go research that. I'm going to go find that. And I agree with you about Mitch McConnell keeping Merrick Garland off the Supreme Court big time.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
This is KCNR Radio, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, and streaming live at KCNR1460.com with Carl and Linda Bach.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns. And they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260. Or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest. I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Premier, your friendly old change. Premier in all we do.
Fall sometimes brings us smoke and ash.
This is one of those years, and the health of you and your car is very important. At Premier Oil Change, our 30-point certified service will not only check the fluids in your vehicle, but will make sure to reach the areas that ash, soot, and smoke can tax, like your engine's air filter. We also check your in-cabin air filter to help the quality of air that your family breathes. This is all part of our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Services require no appointment. Wait in the comfort of your own car with free Wi-Fi and beverage. Don't forget about Premier Oil Change Rewards Program. You earn points for every dollar you spend. Add to that, free fluid top-offs. Now that's service. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson, across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
We are facing a lot of headwinds from Washington. As you know, the president is unpopular today, unfortunately, here in Virginia, so we have got to plow through.
Yes, Joe Biden unpopular in Virginia, warns Terry McAuliffe, he's just terrible. Why anybody would vote for that guy, I don't know. And I got to say, Glenn Youngkin is a pretty squared away guy, and nobody's perfect. But let's not, let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Is that the turn of phrase? I believe it is. Because McAuliffe is horrible. So if you have a choice of horrible and, less than perfect, you go with less than perfect. Don't we? Isn't that what we do in life? Sometimes we're confronted with decisions like that quite often every day. So Virginia has this never-ending election process. And let me just, I started doing a little noodling around yesterday on Al Gore's amazing internet, peace be upon him. And here's a couple of things that I collected. Virginia Senate passes bill repealing witness signature requirement for absentee ballots. See, the Democrats are in charge there. You know, they say they want to make it easier for people to vote. I'm from Chicago. I grew up in a Democrat family. A lot of corrupt Democrats in Chicago brag about stealing elections and have for generations, including the 1960 presidential election for John F. Kennedy, defeating Richard Milhouse Nixon. There in West Virginia, the Democrats stole, and, you know, famously, Joseph P. Kennedy Sr., said when they needed more money to spread around to the unions in West Virginia, said, hey, I'm not paying for a landslide here. And everybody laughs about it in Democrat circles. It's, you know, kind of a funny line. If you think stealing elections is funny, it's funnier. You might laugh out loud. But to say that there have never been any hijinks in our elections is just a joke. That's just laughable. People steal stuff, and people that want power are more likely to steal stuff. So the Democrats have been stealing elections, and I'm sure Republicans have engaged in hijinks as well over the years. But here's the Virginia Star from January 26th of this year, January 26, 2021. Virginia Senate passes bill repealing witness signature requirement for absentee ballots, making it easier to manipulate and use absentee ballots, right? The Virginia State Senate on Monday passed legislation that would repeal the witness signature requirement when people in the Commonwealth use absentee ballots to vote in elections. Introduced by Democrat Barbara Favola of Arlington, Virginia, It passed the body and yada. According to the Virginia Department of Elections, those who choose to vote by mail must have a witness present, which can be anybody, including a relative or a neighbor, for when the ballot is opened and completed by the voter. Once the voter has filled in the necessary information, they put the ballot in a separate envelope included, and a witness will sign that envelope before it's sent back to the local registrar. See, that's a way of ensuring that it's a legitimate vote. But a lot of Democrats have no friends, and they're very lonely, and they're at home on the couch with nothing but a jar of peanut butter and a poodle. And they don't have anybody that can send this, so they wanted to do away with this. So the bill that they passed simply removes the need of a witness being president when filling out an absentee ballot and providing their signature afterward. See? So that is, now what's the purpose of that? Is that because they think that when people are voting, which is your sacred duty as a citizen, that, gosh, it's really too onerous to put such a burden on voters in the Commonwealth of Virginia to ask that they have someone acknowledge that it's actually the intended recipient that is filling out the ballot and sending it in. Why would that be an issue? And then the Virginia Mercury from, August 24th of 2020, last year, Virginia Democrats fast-track absentee voting changes over Republican objections. There's been a lot of arguing over legislation via Zoom. There's uncertainty over how far Virginia should go on issues like pandemic relief and police reform. But the Democratic-led General Assembly appears unified on at least one point. Streamlining the absentee voting process needs to happen fast. Now, this is before the presidential election last year, keep in mind. And Virginia was in play. And was it going to be a Republican state or a Democrat state? And the Democrats suddenly start changing the rules. They did this in Pennsylvania. They did this in a number of states, Georgia. So the committees in both the Senate and the House of Delegates advanced legislation authorizing a system of ballot drop-off boxes, including allocating $2 million for prepaid postage on ballot return envelopes and creating a process that would give voters a chance to correct paperwork errors on their ballots, you know, after the fact, meaning, oops, I voted for the wrong person. Now I'd like to change my vote to a Democrat vote or something. The bill also formalizes a federal consent decree that suspended a rule requiring witness signatures. So there's the witness signature thing again. Now, they made other changes as well. And that brings us to a Washington Examiner piece, this one from January 27th of 2021, this year. Judge rules Virginia's late election law changes for mail-in ballots were illegal. Now, this is January of 2021, so this is after the presidential election that President Trump lost and Joe Biden won. A Virginia court judge, a Virginia Circuit Court judge, ruled that the state's last-minute changes to election law allowing mail-in ballots to arrive late without a postmark were illegal. I'm sorry, what? You see, they allowed them to count ballots. Now, without a postmark, how did it get there? It didn't go through the mail system. What's up with that? And then it gets there days late after Election Day, and they count them anyway. So this is a big win for the rule of law, said Public Interest Legal Foundation President J. Christian Adams, who I know and who is a good, solid man, who represented Frederick County Electoral Board member Thomas Reed in the case. This consent decree gives Mr. Reed everything he requested, a permanent ban on accepting ballots without postmarks after Election Day, and is a loss for the Virginia bureaucrats, Democrats, who said the ballots could come in without these protections. Now, this is, the Democrat Party. They want you to be able to, vote, send out absentee ballots to everybody. Doesn't matter if you live in the, they're mail-out ballots. They're not mail-in ballots. They're mail-out ballots. And everybody gets them, and the DMV scrolls are used to send them out. Doesn't matter if you still live in the state. Sometimes they go to people's dogs and cats to addresses. They go to your grandmother who passed away in 1974 because for some reason they're still in a computer somewhere. But this is, this is another one where the Democrats just, they're up to hijinks here, and there's nothing funny about it. The case was over the Virginia Board of Elections rule issued in August before Election Day. This was ruled illegal after Election Day, that allowed mail-in ballots without a postmark to be received up to 3 days after the November election. Okay. So 3 days after, and they don't have, so you can show up 3 days later with a stack of ballots that are filled out that didn't go through the mail. And so why are you counting them 3 days late? Are they late because they got lost in the mail? Well, they didn't go through the mail. So Democrats show up with a bins full or trucks full of ballots that are filled out but are not postmarked. And days after the election, they say, oh, yeah, we'll take these and we'll count these. Now, why would anybody think there's any chicanery going on in our elections, for crying out loud? And a judge has to rule, but of course it's too late. It's January. The election is long since over and forgotten. Just amazing. Now, here's another one. Virginia County asks governor to waive absentee ballot witness signature requirement ahead of governor's election. This is a new one. This is from October 7th. Of 2021. And this is, that's yesterday, and there's a new one. This is from the Epoch Times. The Fairfax County Board of Supervisors, this is about the ongoing election, since we're 3 weeks into voting and have about 3 weeks left to go. And by the way, if you haven't voted, please vote in the Virginia election if you're eligible to vote. And I'm not talking to Democrats here, only eligible voters should vote. So the Fairfax County Board of Supervisors in Virginia voted to send a letter to ask Governor Ralph Coonman Northam, with the Klan outfit and the blackface and the moonwalk, to waive the witness signature requirement for mail-in ballots that are to be cast in next month's election. Of course, the election is already ongoing. The Board of Supervisors, because we couldn't possibly vote on one day, or one weekend plus Monday, Tuesday. No, 6 weeks of voting, because we're a banana-stinking republic, because the left is here and they're in charge. Board of Supervisors voted 9-1 to send the letter to Coonman Northam, a Democrat. The board's only Republican supervisor, Pat Herity, cast the lone vote against the motion, describing the proposal as a blow to election integrity. Well, the Democrats love blows to election integrity. So this is a truly extraordinary event as well. Board of Supervisors Chairman Jeffrey McKay, who proposed the letter, said that waiving the witness signature requirement, see, made everything better and made it easier for everyone, because their goal is to win elections by any means necessary, by hook or by crook, hammer and sickle. Their goal is to win, and they don't care what the speed bumps are on the way to winning. They just want to win. So again, these changes are declared illegal, and here they are, back at the trough again, saying we want to do away with rules that ensure election integrity, right? That's what's going on here. The Reuters news agency from, just a couple of weeks ago now, the headline is, a four-alarm fire. Tight Virginia governor's race holds warning signs for Democrats. September 28th, 2021, the Reuters news agency. Almost a year after President Joe Biden trounced Donald Trump in Virginia, the state's unexpectedly tight race for governor has alarmed Democrats and left Republicans hopeful they can win back crucial suburban voters who left the party during Trump's tumultuous presidency. Now, the four-alarm fire is that the Cook Report says that the November 2nd, that's technically Election Day, but voting goes on for weeks and weeks because Democrats, you know, they're not up to voting on Election Day or an election week or anything like that. Now, we played Governor McAuliffe saying that Joe Biden is unpopular in Virginia. Let's go to number five, Glenn Youngkin, who is the Republican running for the governor's mansion in the governor's office in Virginia. Yesterday, he was on the Fox News Channel, And he was asked, hey, you know, McAuliffe said that Biden is unpopular in Virginia, but he won the state by a landslide just months ago. What's up?
Let's just start with President Biden's unpopular because he's failing as our president. I mean, we watched what happened in Afghanistan, where he absolutely abandoned Americans and our military and our allies and Afghans that had been shoulder to shoulder with us. And there's a complete failure at the border. He's ruining our economy. I mean, President Biden is failing.
President Biden is failing. I think that's fair to say. Glenn Youngkin also said McAuliffe's campaign is in similar shape.
Terry McAuliffe, what he needs to recognize is he is failing as well. And it's not just Joe Biden, but it's his position on these most important issues. I mean, putting government between parents and their children, actually raising taxes at a time. He wants to raise taxes $5,400 for all Virginians, and I want to bring taxes down. He wants to yell at police officers and tell them that he's embracing organizations that want to defund police and close prisons. And on top of that, he wants to force everybody to join a union. He wants to get rid of our right to work status. So Terry McAuliffe's on the wrong side of every issue, and so his campaign is failing because of Terry McAuliffe. And yes, Joe Biden's complete failure as our president is absolutely adding to it, and that's why we are surging in the polls.
And it's about a one-point spread, depending on which poll you're looking at, with the McAuliffe still leading. You know, he's got full-throated media backing from all quarters, of course. The Virginia Mercury published a piece. This is in March of this year. Democrats have controlled Virginia government for 2 years. Here's what they've done on elections and voting. Making it easier to vote was a top priority when Democrats took control. And they said Democrats have passed bills to open absentee voting to anyone who wants to cast a ballot or early or vote by mail, not just those who have an acceptable excuse. That change came as the virus arrived, you know, and a massive spike in absentee voting. Almost 60% of voters cast absentee ballots last year in the presidential election. And that has transformed how Virginia elections work, they say very proudly. New majorities have taken significant steps, the Democrats, over access, repealing Virginia's mandatory photo ID rule. No photo IDs, absentee ballots mailed to everyone. Don't need postmarks. Count them days after. Making registration near automatic through the DMV and passing state-level voting rights laws that create stricter review process for any local election changes that might discriminate against racial or linguistic minorities. Linguistic minorities. Uh-huh. And it's race. It's always race. And everything's automatic. And you don't need a signature and you don't need a postmark. And we can count them days later. Legislators also teed up more sweeping reform for future elections by giving initial approval to constitutional amendment that they're looking to pass that said that would automatically restore felons' voting rights when they're released from prison, because they know that's an untapped vein of Democrat voters. And that's why they've been fighting for that as well. This is an extremely corrupt party. They wish to win by hook or by crook, by any means necessary, by hammer and sickle. These are not people who are looking to win legitimate elections. They just want to win elections. That's the game. Zero sum. You know, like Chairman Mao, all power comes from the barrel of a gun.
I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Joe Biden is seeking one of the biggest tax increases in history. Now, experts warn these massive tax increases on capital gains and businesses will kill jobs, wreck the economy, and sink the stock market. All this week, Sean Spicer and Lindsay Keith are warning of Biden's tax madness in their special reports. Every night this week, Spicer and company talk to the experts on what's coming and how you can protect your hard-earned money. Plus, Sean Spicer reveals new details of his upcoming book, Radical Nation. In Radical Nation, you'll find the shocking truth of the Biden-Harris agenda. So tune into Spicer and Company every evening this week on Newsmax, America's channel for real news. Newsmax is on every major cable system. Just check your cable guide or get Newsmax on most streaming services or download the free smartphone app now. Newsmax covers the really big stories you need to know. Get Sean Spicer's Radical Nation and make sure you watch Spicer and Company on Newsmax tonight.
Angie's List is now Angie, and caring for your home just got easier. Whether you need help with routine maintenance or a dream remodel, Angie makes it easy to see reviews, compare quotes, and connect with top local pros who can get the job done right. Plus, you can see upfront pricing and instantly book hundreds of projects. No phone tags, just the work you need done at a time that works for you. Angie's got your to-do list covered from start to finish. Book your next home project today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save up to $800 on Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds, plus free premium delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Imani wouldn't be here if it wasn't for St. Jude. Everything was perfect until that day when she was 5 weeks old.
So there was a fairly large and aggressive brain tumor, but St. Jude Children's Research Hospital gave us the ultimate gift in this world, which was hope restored.
And she's tumor-free now.
We came as two desperate parents, and they saved our daughter's life.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Daisy sheds like crazy. Our hairballs have hairballs.
Marquette Mama, she has dandruff and an oily coat.
DinoVite.com.
I was thrilled when I heard Dinovite for cats was coming out.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them.
Dinovite is a life changer.
Lately, she's been a lot more playful, a lot more energetic, more active.
Dinovite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DinoVite.com.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
In the Commonwealth of Virginia, I believe early voting started on September 17th. September 17th. And Election Day, which is a misnomer, is November 2nd. That is the last day to vote. But last time around, they counted ballots that didn't come through the U.S. mail 3 days, received 3 days after Election Day. And amazingly, the Democrats did very well. Isn't that fascinating? Let's go to, I wonder why anybody would question the integrity of anything. How dare you, racists? You see, I got this thing at the Bo Sox Yankees game that is too funny. I'm going to share with you. Right now, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Chris, calling from Holland, Michigan. Beautiful Holland, Michigan. Chris, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, Chris. Privileged to be on today. Thank you.
Welcome.
Speaking of Election Day, so I was privileged enough to be in the Bahamas during their presidential election a few years ago. I didn't plan the trip. It was coincidental. And what I witnessed was amazing. It was basically they treated it as a holiday. The entire country, and you know how complex of a geographically that country is. These people, they get on ferries. They all get together in the city centers. They have certain polling stations. Some islands don't have them. These people go above and beyond and respect their vote. And it's something like around 90% voter turnout nationwide. And there's two parties, People's Liberation Party and the Free National Movement. I'm sure you can figure those out.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They all get together. They barbecue. There's no arguing. They tease each other. It's camaraderie. It's a country unified. It's beautiful. It's a utopia in voting.
Wow. Yeah, holiday. You know, there's been talk of making Election Day a holiday in the United States. And at this point, if we could do away with 6 weeks of voting and counting votes days after Election Day, if we could restore Election Day as a concept with, you know, certain allowances for people traveling and military deployed overseas and so on, absentee ballots, and restore integrity to our elections, I'm certainly happy to talk about having a holiday for Election Day, but what they've done to it is criminal.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.